someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Yes, it is. Hey, you want the best? You've got the best. Let's talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters Mornings Real Radio 104.1 broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. That's a free application for your phone, and you can get the entire station anytime you want it when you've got iHeartRadio. Also, when you go to iHeartRadio, there's an area for podcasts. We have our own channel on that, so you can get all the podcasts when you go there. Just type in Monsters of the Morning, and bam, you got everything. It's pretty cool, so check it out while you get a chance. If you're visiting Orlando and you're listening to the show on Real Radio 104.1, you can take us home with you, and we appreciate it when you do that. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we are doing this until 11. There's the Goat Rupper Champion of Palaga, Florida, the Big Bamboo, Dirty Jim.
Hello!
Our producer is the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera. And to my right, Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never stop, baby.
I'm going to give you all the telephone numbers. I'm going to tell you how to email me, how to text the show, all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, play along and you'll have fun. It's interactive. That's a great thing about talk radio is it is very interactive. You can text us at 77031. And when you text us, sometimes we'll text you back. Sometimes we'll just read what you say on the air. Sometimes, you know, we'll ignore it. But, you know, it's there. And we appreciate you doing it. And we'll get back to you every once in a while. It's powered by David Moss Toyota. Now, if you want to call the show, like at 7 o'clock, we do trivia. 8 o'clock, we'll do the six things you need to talk about. You can give us a call at 407-916-1041. That's how you call the show. And then emailing me, russ@wtks.com. I already have one this morning. Someone wants us to answer and get all of our opinions, and we'll do that a little bit later on in the show. So you can email me, russ@wtks.com. On this, man, they said there were some freezing in Central Florida, which is so weird to see. But freeze warnings in certain parts of Central Florida. It obviously is a little chilly this morning, so as you're getting ready to go to work, be prepared to wear a jacket. But I think by the middle of the day, you can probably peel the jacket off.
My windshield this morning a little bit. Nothing crazy, but it was. When I turned the wipers on, it just kind of blew across, threw a little water on it. Everything's good, but it was a little chilly this morning.
It's one of those things where, you know, when you get out of the shower and you can feel that cold. Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like I had to turn the heat on last night, which I don't like to do in the house for some reason. I don't know why. I have no problem turning the AC on,
right? Yeah.
But the heat, I feel like I'm giving up, or I feel like it's some sort of...
And there's something weird that happens. Could we agree that an air-conditioned 70 degrees is different than a heated 70 degrees? You guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it feels oppressive.
It's also
in your face.
It's like a weird humidity in the air, like when you have that, when you're getting, because you're heating the air up.
Yeah.
But I noticed that last night. We had it set at 67 on our heater, and it was actually still very, very comfortable. But it's weird because when you cool a house to that temperature, it's way different.
It is. Yeah, when you heat it up, like I went to 71 for some reason. Like 71 sounds good. And yeah, you're right. It's like, well, I guess it makes the air drier. And not as much humidity or whatever.
Makes it feel like it's in your face.
Yeah. But anyway, you'll be dealing with that a little bit this week. It's going to be a little chilly and nothing to, you know, when you look at what's going on in the rest of the country, nothing really to complain about.
It is December.
Yeah, it's December. So Jimmy was gone all week last week. He was on his birthday cruise.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where I know how this feels. When you come in the morning, it's like, okay, if something really cool happened, then you got a lot to talk about. If it was a great cruise and it was a lot of fun and there was no drama, it's like, yeah, I was on a cruise. Like, there's not much to say. So did you have a not much to say week, or was there some drama that ensued?
The only thing to say is this. I don't know what other cruise companies are doing, and I'm not paid to say this. This is just my experience. I'm telling you straight up. I'm not going to go on about it. But, boy, Royal Caribbean has set a different bar for the world of cruising. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Higher or lower?
Way, way higher.
Oh, okay.
I've
always liked them too.
Insane. Yeah. That Oasis on the Sea thing that we went out of Port Canaveral, it's not even real. You get on the boat, you walk onto the boat into this atrium, this 8-story atrium.
Beautiful, yeah.
And you instantly forget that you're on. It feels like you just walked into a Class A hotel in any big city in the U.S., in the world for that matter. Just amazing. They have a floor on that they've created to make it look like Central Park.
Oh, wow.
So when you're walking from one end of this atrium, which is 300 feet long or whatever, you know, football field plus, it is it has this winding path that has foliage and fake birds and cricket sounds.
Oh,
and
really?
Low lighting, and on either side of the atrium where this, or the Central Park thing, are all the really nice restaurants, because you can either dine in the dining rooms,
right,
or you can buy the dining package and eat at the really nice restaurants every night, which is exactly what we did. I didn't even buy the drinking package. I bought the eating package.
So, yeah. So you didn't.
No evidence, I know, because I'm not a fat ass at all, but.
Yeah, you didn't get sick of the food. I was going to ask you if you got sick of food.
Oh,
that,
my
that was
God,
the
dude.
One thing that I always, every cruise, if I'm on there for more than 4 days, I get sick of the food because I just eat what they, but if you do the package,
the dining
I'm sure
package.
You don't.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have a steakhouse on board where you can get whatever you want. They have a place that's, you know, real modern, like, cuisine, really nice stuff, you know, and then they have an Italian place. It's also an upscale Italian place. I mean, they really stepped it up. I mean, that boat is amazing. All the rooms are good. No one complained yeah. at all, ever. It's just an amazing experience. We did have one thing in the last the last day we went to. Our last stop was Labadee, Haiti, and it's famous for that beach area there. It's pretty much owned by Royal Caribbean. It really isn't much of an island experience. You go out there, they even built it to look rustic.
Right.
But yeah. really, it's built to look rustic, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of weird for people who come from theme park country. Sure. So, you know, because yeah, everything, it's so authentic, it looks, but it is fake.
That new rustic.
Yeah, that new rustic. But they have a thing called the Dragon's Breath Zip Line, which is supposed to be, I believe, the longest zip line over water in the world or something. And it is, just to give you an idea, you're going, what, 30 or 40 miles an hour, and it still takes you a full 2 minutes
damn.
To go down the zip line. And my friends are ragging on me because I have a heights thing. So we get all harnessed up. It was like $80 a person.
Damn.
We get all harnessed up. We go to the little zip line. We're like, okay, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, that way you don't fall off this thing. It costs us everything. And I zip down the zip line. I was like, man, it's great. It's like flying. It was super smooth. I was really excited. We get on the bus. All of us are piled up, the little trolley thing to take you up there to the where it starts. And right as they did that, the guy came by and said, hold on, we're checking with my boss up on the mountain. It seems like there's a problem with the road.
Oh.
Because we had big rains the night before. And we were sitting there thinking, and of course, this started the chatter.
Yeah.
And the chatter is, sure enough, a minute later, sorry, guys. We've canceled this excursion.
Damn.
For the record, one of the only things, I mean, outside the boat I was really looking forward to do. I mean, the boat was so amazing. We really didn't have to do a whole lot. We did go to San Juan, which is beautiful, by the way. And they came back on, and immediately the conspiracy started. I mean, because, you know, Haiti's a little
A little unrest there.
Yeah, I mean, and these boats just started going back to these ports, guys. I mean, I think this is like maybe 2 weeks in.
Right.
And a lot of the chatter was that there was a group of people up there, you know, basically holding it hostage. In other words, saying, hey, I'd love to let your people come through at $100 a pop, you know, but you're going to have to take care of us as well type thing.
Wow, really?
That was one of the big chatter things that kind of made its way down through the groups onto the ship.
Wow. Is there any, like, evidence towards that?
No, or? None. No, absolutely none.
It's just a group of Haitian militants took over the old
you have to admit it. It makes you feel a little better than the road washed out. But
yeah.
I think what they were saying is this. Do you think Royal Caribbean, who, I mean, you have to understand, we were one group of, like, five going that day. Every trolley that went up that mountain represented $10,000.
Right, yeah.
You know, or something like that, right? Not to mention the way, blah, 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 blah. So they're thinking, man, that's $30,000-$40,000 you're going to lose in one day. Do you think that Royal Caribbean would build a road up to this thing that makes all this money and make it so washoutable?
Yeah.
I mean, everything else was solid concrete.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right.
saying? So yeah. I think that's what fueled a lot of the plus people were pissed.
How many days was the cruise?
Seven. So we were, Saturday to Saturday.
I always found that when it's a 7 day cruise, by day five, I'm ready to get off there. And usually it's because of the food. I've had the same food forever. But if you did the packages thing, were you ready to get off of it, or was it a perfect amount of time?
Because the boat's so nice, it was the last day, and it was a homesick thing. It had nothing to do with the ship.
Sure,
The homesick thing, which is because the service is unbelievable. Everybody's so polite. We actually were running joke in our group, because Code Black and his wife went with us, these people will not say no to you. I mean, we were ordering stuff out of the dining room for dessert that they didn't offer on the fancy menus, because my guys like these little souffles they make. They were running down to the other dining rooms and grabbing souffles for everybody else to come up. That's four floors down, all the way to the other end of the ship, and they sent somebody to go get it because that's what we wanted. I mean, it was an amazing thing, but by Saturday, I was just homesick. You know, of course, we're trying to sell our house other stuff.
Wait,
like that.
So you went on a cruise for 7 days and you got homesick?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah?
I can see that.
Aww.
Yeah, I got a little homesick.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, no, not because of you. No. Don't be mistaken. I don't want you... No, no, dude.
After 7 days, you're like, okay, I'm ready to get back to
reality. I do like to travel. I'm a homer, though, man. I like to be at the house. So, but yeah, man, it was an amazing experience. I would recommend it for anyone. And,
nice.
So just very, very cool.
You see the shows on there?
Saw, like, they have an ice skating show.
Really?
On a boat.
They have an ice skating rink on the boat, and it was no joke. Matter of fact, again, in the casino the night after the show, there's a group of poker players. We'd all gather around after all the shows and discuss what we liked and didn't like while we're playing cards.
Playing a lot of poker?
Hey, I like to play poker. Yeah. And we're all, even the guys, I mean, he's hardcore. Like, I'm a crab fisherman. You know, I drive a truck, you know, and this and the other. And they're all like, yes, the ice show was amazing.
Right.
And because what they did is it was so cool, man. These people are very creative, by the way. It's amazing when you build a $2 billion ship that you have to have it creative so people want to come on and thing, right?
That's the newest one, right? The Oasis of the...
Yes, but
I thought they're
launching...
It, but obviously I have not, because that sounds amazing. I have not seen that.
They're launching two others out of Europe. Actually, Code Black and his wife are going over to the Mediterranean this spring to sail that maiden voyage of that thing. Because what they do is they sail it around Europe, and then they sail it back to Florida.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's going to be posted out there. But it's one of the newest. I think it's the newest one they have on the scene now. And but everybody was saying they took the sand artists. Have you seen these guys?
Yes.
Like they have a lighted table and they spread sand over it, and they you know, move sand around to make it look like it's a drawing.
Yeah, Mecker's got talent, had a guy like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, while ice skating is happening, because it was based on the stories of Hans Christian Andersen,
mm-hmm.
right? And as the ice skating is happening during the shows, this guy they have on the screen is telling a smaller story of what's happening in the bigger story, like up on the screen with the sand stuff. So it is a multi-level, and it was incredibly good. All the dance clubs, they had a jazz club. That thing was packed every night because the majority of the people on this ship were older. I'll be straight up with you. A lot of scooting going on the boat.
So the
lot of scooting, a lot of larking, a lot of dangerous toes out there on the boat this week.
Cruise companies, though, they've got to do a lot, I guess, to compete with the other cruise companies, right? I mean, it seems like they're trying to outdo each other with all kinds. I mean, you know, the newest ship, the newest thing. That sounds like a lot of fun.
And whereas Carnival has focused a lot of their you know, they focus a lot of it toward a younger, like, you know, maybe 40 and down crowd. Royal has done a really good job providing an experience for everyone. From, you know, we have a lot of parents on the ship with their kids.
Yeah.
Because that kid section they have is like Nickelodeon Studios. It takes up the entire front part of the boat. They make slime. They make movies, building from ages 1 up to like 10.
And you can just drop them off and go do your thing.
And go do your thing. And the kids, we a number of times we saw the kids like pulling their parents off the elevators toward the kid section. Like, I gotta go, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Really excited about it. There was a group of teenagers that were roaming around, making everybody very nervous.
Yeah. Did you do anything the night of your birthday? Did you do anything special for the 50th?
We went to the steak restaurant and had some champagne and a nice bottle of wine and stuff. And just did that. You know, I'm 50, and it's not like I'm gonna go out there and do handstands and keggers and in the club, you know. But
but you're gonna go surfing. Look at you.
Yeah, yeah. I did the flowboard. I went. You know what the pissed off thing about the flowboard is?
What's it called? A flowboard.
It's called a what is it? Flow.
Is that like the wave thing?
Just it's like wave surfing form? On the boat, right?
Where they it's that forced wave thing with the pad, the thin sheet of water, and they accelerate it through, and you basically get out there, and I think it's Flow Rider. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I want to try that thing, but you know, I was told that it costs money. I was like, well, I'm not going to pay $100 for like an hour. I mean, I have no interest in going up there and doing that. I mean, I'm out of shape. After 20 minutes, I'll be breathing for my death. And turns out it wasn't a dime. I walked up there one night when my wife had gone to bed a little early. I was like, I'm going to go tour around the ship and just see what's up. And she goes, no, it's absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything. And turned out I could do it. But it's difficult. Had I not had a background in, like, you know, skateboarding and surfing, it would have been a little more difficult. But it was a lot of fun. I wish I'd have done it way earlier in the week. That's one of the only regrets I had for the entire week.
You're listening to Real Radio 104.1.
iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app today. From Real Radio. Real Radio.
104.1. Incredibly, it is, we're like, into December, and this Wednesday is our annual Christmas Wish show. So that's going to be this Wednesday. If you've got a Christmas wish, you know someone, you know, and the best Christmas wishes usually are the ones where you're wishing something for somebody else because there's somebody that's kind of down on their luck or whatever, and you want to get them something.
I want a diamond grill.
Yeah, when people call and they just want something for themselves, it's like, we get a little jaded after a while, but, you know, the whole idea is it's your Christmas wish. If you get on the air, you can wish whatever for whatever you want, and some listener may grant that. And we've been doing it online since the 1st of December, and a lot of these Christmas wishes have already come true. But we'll do our live show on Wednesday, and that's the only day that we're doing it live on the air. So be ready for Wednesday for our live Christmas wish show coming up this Wednesday. And then...
To say, I was going to add on to that real quick. Also, go to the page, monsters.fm, and click on the link and load your wish there. Contacting any one of us directly doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't put you at the front of the line.
Actually, it puts you at the back of the line because we're not going to.
Yeah, if anything, it delays the whole process and the whole opportunity, hopefully, for someone to match up with your wish. So if you could do that, that helps out immensely.
Yes, for sure. Jimmy, anything else from your week that you wanted to tell us about or anything else?
No, man, it was just a really cool experience. And again, everybody who Facebooked me or on Twitter or whatever who wished me happy birthday for my 50th, I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And that's about it, man.
There you go. All right, very good. And then we'll indulge me for a little while here because I got something that, well, you know, I can tie it in for everybody to identify. I can say that for sure. Now, I know, Jimmy, you had daughters, and they were into volleyball, so you went to a lot of volleyball practices.
I did.
And you get to watch all that.
Many, many perfect weekends. Many perfect Saturdays, Russ. I walked into a gym thinking... Golf would be so much more fun.
Right.
Even though this is my kid. I would much rather be playing golf right now, and I would, I'm willing to sacrifice the fact that she may hate me in 10 years because of this, because I really like to play that much.
Yeah, in your head, you can go, oh, man, I don't want to do this. But, you know, and you've got a little girl.
Yep.
And then, you know, Carlos has a little girl. So this is kind of to let you know that one day some of these things can actually pay off, because I remember going to so many dance practices with my daughter, you know, and she, you know, they used to do this thing where it's like, okay, you're jumping over the mud puddle, you know, when they're like, you know, 8 years old, 6 years old or whatever, and they're just running and jumping over a mud puddle, and you're sitting watching it for hours, you know, you're sitting, and it's like, oh man, this is going to take, this is, and then you do another recital, and it's like, oh God, these are 2 hours long, these are forever, you know, and I just remember all those things. Well, yeah. On Friday night, I had an invitation from my daughter, and she's like, hey, you know, hey Dad, I got, it's the first one that she put together the entire,
showcase?
I don't know if recital's the right word. It was Alice in Wonderland. It was an entire ballet.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, it's the first one I've put the entire
thing. She choreographed it and did everything?
Everything, right? So I'm like, okay, honey, it's a Friday night. I'll go out to Lake Wales and see you. And, you know, my girl was
Lake Wales.
So, you know.
That's like 100 miles.
Jimmy.
Not quite, but it's pretty darn close.
It is. Look, once again, you know, I had to be there at 6:30. Like I said, my girl, she was working, so I'm going by myself, and so I leave at 4:30. Think, well, I'll go a little early that way. I can't. Thank God I left at 4:30.
Oh yeah, because traffic on Friday.
Because traffic on Friday out to Lake Wales. I mean, right. She drives this every day, by the way, which I'd never been to her school before. I didn't know what to expect. What I thought was, I'm going to go out there. There's probably going to be 10 kids on stage doing some really bad dancing, and but I'm going for my daughter because God bless her. She's excited about this thing, right? So I get in the car and I start driving, and it's terrible. And even though I took the, is it the 428 or what?
429.
429. Yeah, 429 that goes out. But once you get to I-4, I mean, it's just dead stop. And I'm going, oh my God, it looks like I might even be late. But I finally get out to Lake Wales High School. Now that's out in the middle of no man's land. I wouldn't say I was grumpy. I was listening to some of my favorite music, and you know, I'm like, okay, it's Friday night. I'm going to go watch this and it'll make Brittany happy, you know, whatever. So get in there and start to, you know, walk in. And this school is big. I did not realize
that
it was
Lake Wells High School, I think?
Lake Wells High School, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I wonder where the 8 kids are. And I see a big crowd of people. And I'm like, there must be a football game or something going on here. What's like, no, like half the school is showing up for this dance. I don't know if recital is the right word.
Performance.
Holiday performance, you know, for Alice in Wonderland. So I get in there, and there is a, you know, very you know, put together teacher. I'm like, well, who's that? And it's my daughter, you know, because she's now 29 years old. But in my mind, she's still this little kid that used to jump over the mud puddle, you know, with dance. And so there's Brittany, and she's all very respectable looking with her clipboard. And I'm like, hey, Brittany, you know, and she's like, Dad, glad you came. And I'm looking at all these kids, and I'm like, well, you know, what time to start? What's going on? A huge auditorium. And she's like, well, you know, I've got 100 students. I'm like, oh, my God, how many teachers are there? And she's like, no, I'm the only teacher. I'm like, you're the only teacher for 100 students. And she's like, yeah. And then as I'm sitting there watching, one girl comes up. So Mrs. Her name is Libita now because she got married. Mrs. Libita, I'm so nervous. And Brittany's like, oh, don't worry. You'll be fine. Go put your costume on, blah, 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 blah. Another kid comes up. Miss Libita, I don't know where my crown is. It's over here. I've got it. Here, now go. You know, she's telling them what to do. Another boy comes up. And the guy's like, my friends are here, Mrs. Libita. And they're going to laugh at me. No, they're not. You're going to be fine. Put your costume on. And I'm sitting here watching in my mind, my little girl, as the teacher, all these kids and all these parents walking by, Miss Libita, how are you doing? And I'm like, you taught 100 kids. I'm like, well, this is probably going to be a big train wreck if you want one student, 100 kids. They started this ballet, and it was, like, again, it was Alice in Wonderland. And it was, I couldn't believe it. 100 kids on stage, absolutely amazing. And, you know, my daughter comes out and introduces the whole thing. And then at the very, very end, they, you know, all the kids go out and do their bow and everything. And then somebody introduces, and, you know, the teacher that put this all together, Mrs. Libita, and she comes out on stage and the place erupts.
Nice.
And I'm sitting, and of course, you know, I start crying.
Oh, here we go.
I start crying. I couldn't help it. And I'm thinking, wow, and this is a lot of you parents out there that you're going to things, you're like, oh God, is this ever going to pay off? Like, here's my little girl that loved dance her entire life. She was told by many people, give up on dance. You go find another job. You know, you're not going to.
Yeah, but you wound up changing your mind.
And she, no, it wasn't me. It was other people. But she stuck with what she wanted to do. And now she's a dance teacher. And it was just, it was one of those moments in life where you go, man, you know, to go from this to now she is the dance teacher that she, you know, kind of always wanted to be. It was a really cool experience.
That's great, man.
And with high school kids, to get them to attend something like that, that's really cool.
High school kids, and here's something else too. I'm there by myself, so I'm listening to the parents around me, and they're so excited that their kids are up on stage dancing, you know. And the one lady behind me, like when her daughter came out, say her whole family, they were clapping and laughing, and they're so happy. And I turned around, and I never had a chance to do this before in my life, but I said, hey, I gotta tell you something. I said, I've never had a chance to brag about this, but Miss Libita is my daughter. And the kids were like, that's your daughter. Miss
Security!
You're Miss Libita's dad. And the one little kid said, God bless her. You don't look old enough to be her dad, which was so sweet of her. And these parents heard
that's
me say that.
Son.
And the parents were like, oh, we love Miss Libita. She's so good with the kids. And it was just one of those moments that I thought was going to be a complete bore, right? I was like, oh. And it was... It was so much worth the 2-hour drive, and it was such a weird experience to see. You know, and in my mind, I could just remember, you know, taking her to that dance class and hating every minute of it, and going, "Oh God, this is so boring." But you know, you talk about you turn around and paying off to this experience of now she's a teacher that's well respected and well loved, and did. I mean, to teach 100 kids, it's hard to teach one kid to do something.
Well, they're there because they love it, though.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm not taking anything away from her, but you know, those kids that are there want to be there.
Yeah.
The good thing is, I mean, she has all that experience, you know, to be able to see. I mean, she probably gets a lot of respect because of her background. You know, you got to stand up and go, look, I went to college for this. I mean, find somebody else, and let's say within 100 miles that did.
Yeah.
Because it would be very difficult to find anybody in 100 miles in Polk County that has a dance degree. You know, I think that's kind of impressive.
And you know, Jimmy, you know what's weird is it was boys and girls. I mean, it's not like she was just teaching girls dance. There were a lot of the boys were dancing, and it was really, really good. Like, I was ready to be bored for an hour. You know, I was like, okay, but I'm going to do it for my daughter because I love her to death. I'll just zone out and it'll be okay. And actually, it was 1 hour of you know, the Alice in Wonderland, and it was really good. And when I started thinking, well, she choreographed the whole thing, and the kids afterwards were really, really happy. So it was kind of a cool experience. So a lot of that stuff that you guys are going through with your daughters, one day when you're 52, you know, can pay off and be an awesome experience.
Because that's great, man.
I drove out of there going, man, I am so glad I forced myself to come out to Lake Wales, because I was thinking of coming up with an excuse. I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh, man, it's a Friday night at Lake Wales. God. But, man, what an awesome experience, and I wasn't expecting it, you know?
Yeah, that's always positive, right?
Yeah.
That's always a good.
Yeah. So, shout out to my daughter.
Yeah.
She stuck to her guns. And,
really
and,
cool.
And a lot of other people told her she should maybe find another job other than waiting for some dance job, and she's now a dance teacher that is well-respected. So it can pay off there, you know? Real Radio 104.1.
Status updates.
Are you really complaining about traffic?
That don't suck. Facebook.com/RealRadio. Orlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Hey, join me this Friday. It's the Monster Holiday Meetup at Ember for 3-for-1 drinks. So it's the a big meetup for 3-for-1 drinks. It's a happy hour that's amazing. 3-for-1 drinks at Ember, a Monster Holiday Meetup. I'll be there from 4 to 7. So come by and say hi this Friday. Make plans to go out to a little holiday party. Hey, listen. You know, I'm amazed with all these different little subcultures or things that have a big following that you know you have no idea is a big deal or that there are people that are into it. You know, and I found one yesterday. I got an invitation from my daughter, and she's like, her and her husband, and they have family that's in. They were gonna go do frisbee golf, and I'm like, oh, yeah. That sounds like you know, okay, yeah,
disc golf,
whatever. You know, do frisbee golf sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. I wasn't doing anything on Sunday. I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, you know, better to get out in the get out in the open and a little bit and go check it out. I don't know how good I'll be at this, but we'll go check it out. And there's a place out in DeLand where they've got it's a big golf course, basically, but it's just for frisbee golf, and it's in the woods.
Yep.
Part of it's in the woods, part of it, there's some that are big open spaces, but mostly in the woods. And there are people that, like, this is what they do. They're into frisbee golf.
It's very competitive.
And they walk around with these carts, and almost like baby carriages or whatever, to carry all their frisbees, because it's not like you just got one frisbee, right?
No, yeah, different ones for different distances, and ones you can curve better, ones that go straight.
One guy had like 50 different things. Oh, I got to pull this one to get that.
Right, yeah.
You know, and most of these guys were by themselves. I saw a couple guys that were with their buddy doing it, but most of these guys were by themselves doing frisbee golf. And it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I will not say I was good at it. I did. I don't know what you call it.
Hole in one.
It wasn't a hole in one. I was like halfway
disc
through.
In one?
I got a disc. I got a disc that everybody was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you got it!" But it was purely accident, you know. Because if you throw it this way, it's going to curve to the right. If you throw it this way, it's going to curve to the left. And you got to there is a lot of skill to it. But frisbee golf was a damn blast.
Yeah, it is fun. You know, there was a golf course out in Apopka called Rock Springs Ridge. It was a big 27-hole development out there for many, many years. It opened up, I think, probably 15 or 20 years ago or whatever. It didn't make it because the golf world got weird for a while, and it still is, really. But when they shut 9 holes of that golf course down, kept 18 holes open for golf, and used that other 9 holes for disc golf. And at one point, the disc golf 9 holes was getting more action than the actual golf course.
Yeah.
Because people are out there. Because it's accessible to everyone and it's not expensive.
I couldn't believe all the people that were out there playing.
It's a good walking, low-impact exercise, too.
Yeah, everyone was calling it frisbee golf, but people on the texting service now are saying it's disc golf.
Yeah, whatever. There's a whole professional disc golf association.
Okay. Whatever you want to call it, it's fine.
You want a YouTube wormhole? You want to see some impressive stuff?
Is that what...
There's a guy that's really famous for doing tricks with those.
YouTube wormhole disc golf at the highest level, and watch the courses they have up north. Russ, when you'll see the tee box, and there's guys standing there, and they're all getting looser about to throw the... And when they show the scene of where the flag or the wicket thing is supposed to be,
right?
Because it's just chains hanging from a pole that stops the thing and it falls into this little basket, right?
Correct.
It's only woods. All you can see, it literally looks like the guy's throwing his disc or frisbee or whatever into the woods.
Yeah,
but
just randomly.
It's the angle you're looking at. Once they get the little angle, there is a 8-foot-wide area where you have to bend this thing through the woods to get it to this wick, and those guys can do it every single time. And it's like a 100-yard shot, and they're throwing it every single time. It's amazing.
Yeah, every time I threw it, I hit a tree. Yeah, I mean, boom. You know, I'm like, son of... I'm like, okay, now I'm going to try to hit the tree, and I bet, I'll miss it. And when I would try to hit the tree, then I would never ever hit it. But you know, we were in like the thicket sometimes, and you've got all these stickers on you and everything. But it was we were all laughing. There were seven of us that were playing, right? Two kids, and then my daughter and a couple other adults. And it was just one of those things where it was fun to be outside doing something,
nice.
Not inside watching
weather.
A movie.
I think about or whatever. It, yeah, in this weather.
Oh, you know, it was a little chilly, but yeah. So what? It was, you know, it was fun.
First course of that I ever saw was on UCF campus.
Oh,
UCF
really?
has had one on their campus for quite some time. And that's where, like, I first saw guys. And we would tease them because there was the outdoor basketball courts in that area, too. But then over time, you've seen how popular it is,
yeah.
And how they're repurposing a lot of these golf courses, because that's one thing that they're doing. And they're also repurposing them and doing kickball golf.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kickball, foot golf. Yeah, that's another big thing that's coming up, too.
Another big thing to do when you're doing disc golf or frisbee golf or whatever you want to call it is to drink beer. A lot of people are drinking beer. And we weren't, because we had kids with us and stuff, but I was watching some of the other guys, and they were basically walking around drinking beer with all their frisbees, you know, and a lot of these guys, they would have a baby carriage filled
all the
with
different frisbees,
all these different, and you pick the exact right one so they get the right.
Sure.
And it's so funny to see all these different subcultures of things that have such a following that you have no clue is popular.
All
you
right,
know?
So they're Michael Jordan. If you get a chance, look up this guy's videos. His name's Brody Smith.
Okay.
Apparently he's out of Gainesville.
Yeah.
This guy.
He's the man.
He does some amazing trick shots. He's gotten so popular that they'll let him go into different football stadiums, and he's dropping his frisbee from like the upper deck doing a trick shot and nailing it in a basketball hoop on the field.
Wow.
He's become more and more famous because of that, and that's where he got his start, was that.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure golf is more difficult and all that, but I can see the similarities. Because, if you try to throw that disc straight, I know some people can. I'm just saying, it's hard to learn how to throw it straight. It really is difficult. And I was trying to throw it straight, and it's just really, really hard to do. But.
There's actually a disc golf course up in Turkey Lake Park in Pine Hills.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's been there forever.
And this park over in Delaney, it was free. There's no charge. You just go and play. But there were hundreds of people out on this course,
it's playing a beautiful day.
Frisbee golf, of all things, you know.
I never knew about that DeLand course, though.
If you know where it is, it's right off the St. John's River, where the power plant is.
Oh yeah,
you have to drive through the power plant to get to this golf course, and it's free. And there's two courses that are there. And
genetic modification, anybody?
Yeah,
it was definitely cool. And once again, the two things I did not think I was going to be doing this weekend, and didn't know what to
watching
expect.
Watching a show and frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf. And boy, and after frisbee golf, my daughter's husband, great, great guy, by the way, he loves different, he loves beer, let's just say that. And I said, have you ever been to Willow Tree before? And, oh, yeah, I was there one time before. And, you want to go? Sure. So we go to Willow Tree afterwards, and I was half paying attention. He asked me a question. I'm like, yeah, sure, we can do that, whatever. Because I was taking care of dinner because it was my daughter's birthday, and I got it. Don't worry, whatever you guys want.
When's your birthday? What day is your birthday?
Her birthday is the December 2nd.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, hers was the 2nd.
Sagittarius.
Yeah, and I'm like, we'll take care of it. And what he had asked me was, do you want to do the boot?
The boot!
Now, I didn't really know what that was, and I've been to Willow Tree a bunch of times. I'd never even seen anybody do the boot. Do you want to explain what the boot is?
How many ounces is that, Jimmy?
Well, there's two sizes. There's a small boot and there's the boot.
The only one I've ever seen is the boot.
Yeah.
It's a pretty large size boot full of beer.
It's like 3 liters or more, isn't it?
Yeah, and then there's a deal. If you finish the boot, you get it for free.
I don't know about that, dude.
I just made that part up.
I think you made that part up, but I didn't realize you
had to have... Right now there's a German screaming, no, 9-9!
You had to have enough contestants or people that are willing to do it, and I didn't know. I was like, so he'd asked me, and I'm like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And then they come over with the big beer, and like, okay, everyone stand up. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
he's like, well, you gotta stand up. So it was me and Chris, who he's a big, army guy, big dude, and I'm pretty big dude, too. And then it was my daughter and another smaller girl. So, they don't really drink very much, and you can't sit down until you drink this entire boot of beer.
I'll sip it.
And everyone,
I'll just give it a sip.
Everyone in the restaurant's watching you, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, they bring out the accordion for that, don't they?
Yeah, and then they do ticky-tucky, ticky-tucky, oi, oi, oi.
You're supposed to chug it.
And you're supposed to chug as fast as you can. And
you're supposed to.
And they start booing. They start booing us because we were drinking so slow.
Carlos, this is a size 12 glass boot up to your knee.
Damn.
Like
full
that.
Of beer.
Look, I've done it a couple times and not been able to finish that thing.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, they would take me a month. By the time I got to the bottom, it would just be all backwash from the toes up to the ankle.
Usually you want to do that, or everyone thinks of the idea of doing that after you've eaten this incredible meal.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, what had happened was they brought the meal.
Schnitzel. Yeah, pile 6 pounds of schnitzel in there and then tackle that boot.
They brought the meal, and I wanted to eat, and they're like, you can't eat until you're done with the boot. I'm like, oh, man.
So many rules.
What are we doing here? And so I tried to chug as much as I could because I really wanted to eat my sandwich.
And that's not your kind of beer.
You know what?
Because it's like the Spaten and beers like that are the German lagers.
When I ordered the beer, I said, listen, here's what I know. I don't like hoppy beer. And the guy goes, well, good, because German beers don't use hops, so you're fine. And actually, the beer that I had was awesome.
Yeah, not like hops. They do use hops, but not that kind of hops that you're talking about, the IPA hops.
Yeah, he said, we don't do IPAs.
Yeah, it's a different kind of thing. The lagers are hopped beers, but not like that.
It was a really good beer, so the beer wasn't bad. But we had to chug that whole thing.
Was it packed?
And, yeah.
Stacked, right? That place. Realize that is a nationally recognized German restaurant, right?
Sunday at 4 o'clock, and the place was packed.
Heck yeah, that place is good.
Yeah, out on the patio, man, they've got like 20 tables out on that patio.
Yeah,
you know they have a term now for going downtown Sanford because it's become a thing. There's a T-shirt you can see. It says, "I'm going Sanfording."
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's so many great little bars around there that have craft beers and great little restaurants.
Yeah,
that you just park along the perimeter and walk like 2 or 3 blocks of downtown and just drink and eat.
Yeah, and then there are a ton of people there. Something else too, I had forgotten about, but on Saturday, Lake Ridge Winery had like a big wine festival out there. And man, that's another area that I don't get to very often. And that winery, I've been to Napa now, and now I've been to the winery in Lake Ridge, and it rivals. I mean, I don't know about the wine. I don't know. The quality of that, people can complain about that. But as far as the winery itself and the experience being there and all that, it rivals anything I saw in Napa. It's a great winery, super nice people, tons of people out there for this this festival, and they had all kinds of food. And I forgot how beautiful it is out in Claremont.
I had a buddy that used to do that every single year. The thing you just went to, guy actually went out there for probably 4 or 5 years in a row. He'd always text me before and email me, hey, man, we're going out to the winery. You want to go? And I never thought it would be anything that I would want to travel, 30 or 40 miles to go see. It turns out I was way wrong, that it was one of those things that, like Mount Dora has a ton of them. I'm like, hey, yeah, sure, 100 people are going to be there. And you show up, you have to park a mile away and trolley in.
Must have been a couple thousand people out for this thing. And I hadn't heard about it. I didn't know what was going on.
But you got to pick and choose what you do in Central Florida this time of year, man. There are festivals on Wednesdays and this time of year. When it gets cool, Florida loses their damn mind and they never want to be inside. So it's like literally every other day you have like 10 festivals to choose from.
Yeah, you know what? I noticed that a lot of the stuff I did this weekend, it's like they didn't tie it into Christmas. There were no Christmas decorations. It wasn't tied into Christmas. It was just kind of made generic so everybody would feel welcome to come. It wasn't like it was a Christmas wine day. It was just, generic. I don't think I saw anything Christmas.
Please join us for our non-denominational celebration of fermented grapes.
Yeah, even Britney's thing, Alice in Wonderland thing, there's no Christmas tie into it. That was a really cool thing. If you ever get a chance to go out to that winery, I mean, once again, they're not paying us to say this, but it's really, really nice.
Yeah, been out there for a while. There's another thing in Lake Wales when you're out there next year called the Bock Tower. You know about that, right?
Yeah,
that's another one of those things this time of year that has a lot of like little outdoor events and stuff, and like anything that's any structure outside that can serve an alcoholic beverage in Central Florida is pretty much going to be open 24 hours a day this time of year.
For sure. Carlos, you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a great weekend, man.
And I know you're ready for a great week because it's your birthday week.
It is my birthday week, yes. Yeah. I will be turning, 37.
Wow. Yeah. So when you're in the 37s or whatever, you don't think about your birthday that much, do you? It's like,
I guess I do and I don't. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not one of those that totally, dismisses my birthday, but I'm not. I have zero plans.
Usually, when it's a marker like the 40th or the 50th or the 30th, then those for whatever reason we make those a big deal. But when it's an odd number like 37 or 22 or whatever, we don't seem to put as much importance for some reason.
It is weird. I guess it's like just the milestone thing. But last year I was out of town shooting Bloodline. Yeah. And this year I'll be out of town shooting something else.
And you're gonna go, can you say where you're going or no?
Oh yeah, I'm going to LA.
LA. So are you concerned about, because the fires in LA are getting worse?
I don't know. I don't know how it all works, to be honest. I haven't heard anything.
You're going to fly right into it. You're going to fly as you're coming into LA, Ventura. You're going to see it visually.
Yeah.
And then depending on what part of town you're working.
Like LA, Burbank, or
you'll see it.
You'll feel it. You'll feel the smoke. You'll see it. Yeah.
Has it delayed flights? I'm assuming, I think so. Right?
I'm assuming so. I know that, like I said, friends of mine, they've moved out to Santa Monica to try to get away from it.
Yeah.
They're like living on the beaches and stuff. It's a daily check-in with my sister-in-law and one of my best friends.
That's a global story, by the way, because on the cruise ship, the news that you get on the TV, in the in-room television, or whatever, is it comes out of Europe. So that story made the rounds over and over and over and over and over again that California was burning down. There's like four major fires. They name fires now like they do hurricanes.
It's the Phillips Fire, the Ventura Fire.
And they name the fires. I don't know how they get their names. Maybe because of the roads or area.
The neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah, this is the Thomas Fire. And I was curious of how they came up with that name, the Thomas Fire.
It's more than likely there's either a subdivision or that's that part of town. It's called that because the other one was the Ventura Fire, and then there's something Hills Fire.
Well, the Thomas Fire is now the fifth largest wildfire in modern California history. So, and you're gonna be flying into that. This week.
Lowe's. I mean, it shut down some productions. That new TV production of SWAT, they've had to reschedule that.
Really?
Yeah,
and also Westworld.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more contained. It's in a studio, so it should be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
but we'll see. I have no clue. I'm literally like...
The winds are blowing so hard, though, it's kind of funny when you... I say funny. When you look at the fires from a helicopter shot, the fire is actually... The smoke is being blown out of the area almost immediately because the winds are insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the Santa Ana winds or whatever are what... You know, of course, no rain are fueling...
They've had over 50 days straight without rain.
Yeah.
Some crazy number like that.
And what they said, they showed the firefighters, and they're like, we've got some great firefighters, but they are getting tired now.
The fatigue.
As much as they're fighting these fires, they're still only about 10% contained. I mean, and once they get a little bit of headway, then it gets worse again. So these guys are getting really, really
230,000 acres. It's the fifth largest fire in the history of Los Angeles.
That's
or
crazy.
California.
All right, listen, your chance to win some stuff. We're going to let you win some stuff. All you got to do is give us a call, 407-916-1041, or toll free, it's 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1.
So there's a spider in the bathtub. Please kill it.
But until then,
I'll pass. Thanks.
Just tell her to play WTKS FM Orlando.
Getting WTKS Orlando radio from iHeartRadio.
From Yo! Radio 104.1.
All rise. All rise. All rise.
Hey, the Triple R Segment of 7 is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBank.com. Brad Seabrick can help get you into a home. Licensed lender that can help get you a home. They helped my daughter buy her house. Matter of fact, I just bought a house recently, and one day I decided to do it. 3 weeks later, I'm into the home. My friend Maggie just got her house thanks to Brad Seabrick and WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Diane that works here. And Dirty Jim's even working with Brad now. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Great people. If you've got if you got great credit, they'll get you a great interest rate. If you've got poor credit, like a credit score 580 or less, they can still help get you into a home. They can finance a mobile home if you want them to. They've got a portable RV, a portable office that will come to closing. That way you don't have to drive all over town to go sign paperwork. You just walk outside and do it right there in the driveway. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Call them at 407-636-9808. Jimmy, one of the great things about We Are Not The Banks is they keep you informed with what's going on with your loan throughout the entire process. You get an email almost every day, and they let you know what's going on, correct?
I'll give you an example of how attentive he is, Rick. We're off the ship a total of 30 minutes. First phone call we get letting us know where the status of our purchase is Brad Siebert.
Yeah.
Now, nice. You got to remember, guys, that's 8:40 in the morning on a Sunday.
Right.
And that guy knew when we were getting off the ship. He knew exactly when he could call us, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
It's been hard to explain how good it is. Honestly, it feels fake.
WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Hey, let's see what prize we have in the prize pinata today.
The Prize Pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. The easiest way to start this is go to the website, centomoving.com. That's C-E-N-T-O-moving.com. You hit the start quote button. That starts the process. That's centomoving.com.
Hey, we should thank them. They also helped the News Junkie on Friday.
Oh, heck yeah.
Take all those bikes out to the, I forget the organization. It was Hope, the Hope House, I believe it was. They helped out on Friday. They were nice. Very nice of them, yeah.
I'll be hollering at him soon.
Up first, we have the Holiday Movie Bundle. Ooh. Get into the holiday spirit with the Ultimate Christmas Movie Bundle, including...
What's in there? Let's see.
A Christmas Story.
That's a good one.
Elf.
Oh, yeah.
The Polar Express.
I've never seen that one.
It's really good.
Is it?
Really, really good.
Okay.
And then you wrap it up with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
Own them all on digital Blu-ray and DVD now.
Yeah, two of those I own because I have to watch them every year. Elf, I have to watch every year.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last one you just...
National Lampoon's
Christmas Vacation. I got to watch both of those, yeah.
We have a pair of tickets to the AutoNation Cure Bowl, and that's going down at Camping World Stadium on December the 16th. Multi-platinum recording artist Andy Grammer is headlining a pregame tailgate and concert at Tinkerfield. Concert admission included with ticket game. Tinkerfield opens at 11 a.m. and the concert's at noon. Kickoff is at 2:30. For more information, visit realradio.fm, keyword cure. Bringing teams together, find a cure for cancer. We have a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Jumanji. Welcome to the Jungle on December the 18th, starring Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black. And that's in theaters on December the 20th. The previews and initial reviews of this are through the roof.
Yeah, they're saying it's really good. It looks really funny,
when
too.
When is the preview?
This is December the 20th.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then we'll wrap it up with a pair of tickets to Horton's Holiday Hayride, starring Reverend Horton Heat. That's going down Friday, December the 22nd at the House of Blues, and it presents Horton Heat and Junior Brown with special guests The Blasters and Big Sandy live in concert.
Big Sandy!
Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets at the House of Blues box office. And those are the prizes in today's Prize Pinata.
Hey, thanks, Angel. And by the way, I stand corrected. Sorry. All the people on the Texan service, the Frisbee Golf is in DeBary, not DeLand.
And oh, Jesus.
They wanted me to get, I always get DeLand, DeBary, and
Deltona
confused because they start with the DE.
Oh, man, that's so wrong.
Do not call DeLand Deltona.
I always make that mistake. But it's DeBary where it's at, and the people on the Texan service are like, look, man, we don't get that much love. We get the love. We want to just get it right.
You don't ever want to mistake that city because Deltona is basically a combination of DeLand. And Daytona.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Comparing DeLand to Deltona is like New York to Crete, Iraq.
Okay.
That's not good, Russ.
Jason, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Jason?
Half a standing building.
How you doing?
I'm great, man. I got a trivia question for you. If you get it right, take whatever prize that you want. And if you don't get it, don't worry, because you got several fellas here that can help you out and help you get it, okay?
All right,
good luck to you. Here we go. According to a new survey worldwide, people from what country are more likely to believe in aliens from outer space? What country has more people that believe in aliens from outer space?
What country you said?
Yes.
Italy.
Italy, not in the top four. Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel, you've got Carlos, or Dirty Jim?
Go with Dirty Jim.
Jimmy, according to a new survey worldwide, people from what country are more likely to believe in aliens from outer space?
Man, it's weird because I've actually paid attention to this stuff for a long time in my life. For some reason, I was fascinated as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And it's weird because the sightings that I see come from like two or three places. The U.S. is one where there's a lot of them, 300 million people, 330 million people, you know. So you'd think it's got to be a big population. Man, for some reason, I think it's Russia.
Russia.
I was thinking that too.
Russia's in third place. That's in third place. And by the way, we had while you were out, we had astronaut John McBride
in studio,
and we asked. I think Carlos asked him if he believed in aliens from outer space, and he said he did.
Yeah, John's an interesting guy, right?
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, he's the
very
best.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark from DeLand, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. According to a new worldwide survey, people from what country are more likely to believe in aliens from outer space?
I gotta going to say United States. I think it's us.
You know what? United States was in fourth place. That's why I picked this, because I was very surprised. I thought we would be in first place as well, but no, we're behind Russia as far as the percentage of people that believe in aliens from outer space. Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel and you've got Carlos.
Carlos.
Los. Team Space.
Right.
Team Ocean. According to a new survey worldwide, people from this country are more likely to believe in aliens from outer space. In fourth place, it was the USA. In third place, it was Russia.
Yeah, I just saw something about this, and I think it's Mexico.
Mexico's in second place.
Oh,
you guys are hitting it right.
Damn.
Right up the old ooh-ha right there. All right, let's go to Julio.
So many other things to say there.
Julio.
Really boil it down. It's just amazing.
Hey, good morning, guys.
First Julio. Access point was...
What's up, buddy?
The ooh-ha.
According to a new survey worldwide, what country believed in aliens more than any other country?
I'm going to guess Brazil.
Brazil is incorrect. Who do you want to help? I guess you got Angel that can help you right now. Angel, if you get it right, he's a winner.
I'm just going to go with the numbers on this one. China?
China's the answer. There you go. Congratulations. But 61% of the people in China believe that there are aliens from outer space.
So, wouldn't you think it would also be countries that would be kind of undereducated, like people who could believe in lore like that more than people who have access to a lot of education?
That's what I thought. I thought
but
it would
be. States being fourth.
I thought it would be a country that we considered not well educated or advanced, but really China is considered advanced.
I thought that a country would be lower, like a less educated country, because, I mean, we're supposed to be one of the smartest countries, and we obviously all believe, most of us believe. I didn't think it was a country that was stupid, per se.
I can imagine what country do you think would be the least educated? I don't know.
If you don't think that something's out there, I think you're stupid. Like, if you at this point in time, if you don't believe that there is something else out there with us being a speck of sand in the universe, you know, whatever, like, come on. Like, astronauts say, of course there's stuff. And there's committees and groups that have wealth, are well-funded and totally credible that are saying they're out there.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to a certain arrogance of human, right? Specifically, an arrogance of the American that you automatically assume, you're like, yeah, there is no this, there is no that, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I was one of those guys for many, many years. But, you know, my wife and I were talking about that picture, that Hubble space picture where you see the multiple galaxies in the picture.
It's amazing.
She says, you know, I look at that and the first thing I think is, what's behind that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's behind that? There's always something behind the photograph. What's behind that? Just more of that. So with that vast possibility to completely and utterly discount and rule out because you have a finite understanding of how physics and space works, to so blatantly and categorically deny the existence of other intelligent life is kind of ignorant, you know, and arrogant, really, to be honest with you.
In the entire survey, they surveyed 26,000 people from 24 different countries all over the world. 60, the findings were 61% say, yes, there is life out there on another planet. 22% said, well, they're not sure. And 17% say they are sure that we are definitely alone. I don't know how you could say you're sure we're definitely alone because you know.
And you look at the mass populations of those countries we're talking about. Sorry, Angel. You know, China, yes, is a big country, and you think, wow, you know, we see a lot of things there, but that's a lot of manufacturing there, and a giant portion of that population does not have access to higher education. Look at Mexico, same thing. A small portion of that country would have access to a higher education. The majority of them do not.
Yes,
what's the last country? Does it give you the last country on that list? Like, who came in that intent?
The one, let's see here. People in the Netherlands, Indonesia, Turkey are the least likely to believe. And the last place was Turkey. The people in Turkey don't believe there's any life out there.
Yeah, those Nordic state people. They think they're so much better than everybody.
They think they know it all.
Oh, you eat a bunch of pickled herring, all of a sudden you're the smartest guy on the planet.
Real Radio, 104.1.
You don't have to like us in the literal sense. Maybe you're just in it for the free stuff. We're okay with that. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Radio.
Hey, you're listening to The Monsters. Monday's Real Radio 104.1. Our Christmas Wish show will be this Wednesday. So if you have a Christmas wish you want to put out into the universe and hope that somebody grants that wish and makes it come true, then do your best to get on the air on Wednesday. If you can't get on the air, you still can go right now to our website at monsters.fm and post your Christmas wish up there. There are other people that are going through and they're granting those wishes as well. Now, there's a higher percentage of chance of it being granted if you get in on the on Wednesday. I understand that. But there still are a lot of the Christmas wishes being granted on the website at monsters.fm. And you can vote for your monster pet of the year. And we will announce the winner. I think she said, when did Blog and Molly say we're announcing the winner? It's sometime this week. The 7th. Yeah, December 7th is when we'll announce the winner for that. So that's on Thursday. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings on Real Radio 104.1. So if you're one of these folks that you don't pay attention to social media that much and you're not paying attention to social media, you should know that the rest of us who do pay attention to it probably saw this story 70 times. And it's the story of little Keaton Jones, who is a, how old is he? I think he's a 10-year-old boy.
He looks about like 11 or 12.
He's okay.
How old are you in middle school? It's middle
about
school.
11 or 12.
Yeah, all right.
Okay,
yeah.
Middle school. He has a, is that called a cleft palate when you have the, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I think he's got that. Then he's got the scars from the tumor surgery on his skull.
Right. And,
I didn't even know he had that.
Yeah.
His mom videotapes him talking about, well, if you haven't heard it, I think we have the audio, but talks about being bullied. And man, if this doesn't tug at your heartstrings and make you think, I mean, it made me sit back and think about when I was that age. And I think, do you think it would be correct to say everybody was bullied at least once in their life? I don't think there's anybody that can say that, well, no, nobody ever bullied me.
Yeah, right?
Everybody had it at some point. Okay.
Everybody had that one guy in school or one girl, whatever.
Yeah, so we can identify with this poor kid, but
do you remember your bully's name?
I don't remember his name, and I remember the whole situation, and I'm going to go into you remember?
I remember the guy that was bullying me. It was like seventh grade, and that's when I'm like hitting a growth spurt. So talk about gangly, awkward kid. I'm hitting like 6'2", 6'3". I weigh 140 or 30 pounds. I mean, I'm super thin, but I'm the tallest kid in class. You know? And just awkward and clumsy and a really easy target at that time.
And what was your maybe we should play this first, but I'm going to think about this for a second. As we're listening to this young man, what was your initial instinct? Because my initial instinct when I was being bullied was just to be passive and be bullied. My initial instinct was, he guy was hitting me, I just let him hit me, I don't want to fight, I don't want to. That was my initial instinct as a kid. I had to be taught to stand up for myself. And then once I was taught that, hey, if you stand up for yourself, hey, that bully will get that look in his eye where he's scared to death of you, and I can turn it around. And then I became some other kind of Frankenstein monster I shouldn't have been. But I will tell you about that in a minute. But my initial instinct was, oh, just, okay, hit me, whatever. I don't want to fight. And if it weren't for my dad giving me the instruction, you got to stand up for yourself, boy, I don't know that I ever would have stood up for myself. But this is a young little Keaton Jones, who, by the way,
curiosity. Why do they bully? What's the point of it? Why do you find joy in taking innocent people and finding a way to be mean to them? It's not okay.
What do they say to you?
They make fun of my nose. They call me ugly. They say I have no friends.
What'd they do to you at lunch?
Put milk on me and put ham down my clothes. They're bread at me.
Is it just you?
Yep.
Or is it other kids, too, that feel that way?
Say it's other kids, too.
How's that make you feel?
I don't like that they do it to me, and I for sure don't like that they do it to other people, because it's not okay. People that are different don't need to be criticized about it, because it's not their fault. But if you are made fun of, just don't. Don't let it bother you. Stay strong, I guess. Hard. But it'll probably get better one day.
Man, heartbreaking, man. Absolutely heartbreaking. And, and middle school is the worst time. And it goes on. And you know, and this young man is getting a lot of attention because of this video. And there are celebrities and stars coming from all over the world wanting to be his buddy and his friend. It makes me want to cry. It makes me so sad to see a young man going through that. And it makes me angry. I hate bullies with a passion. And I started to wonder, why is it that I hate him so much? And I remember now back being bullied and being the passive one and going, oh, you just hit me. I don't care. I don't want to fight. And if it weren't for my dad, you know, teaching me to stand up for myself, I don't know that I would.
See, it's weird. Like, I'm kind of, it obviously was a very touching video, but it made me think of the times I'd bully people, to be dead honest. Like, now, I was never this bully that beat up people, but I would make fun of people. For sure, it was part of my kind of personality at the time. I was doing it because I was insecure about things.
Right.
I was never some, your classic bully, but it just made me feel, I don't know if it's all this reckoning happening with other things,
mm-hmm.
You know, that you kind of go hey, let me take a look at myself, because it was, I shared the video. I spoke about it.
Yeah.
But it made me immediately think of some kids that I bullied. This is a long time ago, you know, sixth, fifth grade or whatever. I was initially bullied. Same thing. My dad said, hey, stand up for yourself. I started taking karate classes.
Yeah.
And then stood up for myself a little too much, probably.
I remember thinking that a lot of my friends, they didn't have a dad that would teach them how to fight or how to stand up for themselves. So I felt like I needed to stand up for them. And so then I got into this thing where I would, if there was a bully, I ended up fighting the bully just because I got a positive thing out of my friends going, way to go, Russ. Thanks for helping me. And then I realized now later that I kind of ended up being a bully, which you shouldn't do that either.
Yeah. Bully.
But man, you watch this young man and it's like, God, and if that's your son, man, it just breaks your heart to think that your kid is being bullied. Yeah. But we all are going to go through it, don't you think, Jimmy?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's weird. My kids haven't experienced a lot of it because they were in clubs that had support systems. Like, you know, whether it be volleyball or the band or wrestling or whatever the case may be, they didn't really deal with it like that. I dealt with it a little bit as a kid, but I found that as I got to be in middle school, my freshman year, I was bullied a little bit because I was in ROTC, and you had to come to school in your stupid uniform.
Yeah.
So dudes were coming at you like that. And we grew up kind of humbly, so you kind of get made fun of if you're you don't have the right car or whatever the case may be. Even in small towns, that happens. A lot of people believe that small towns are insulated from stuff like that, but it's not the case at all. Sometimes even worse because there's nowhere to go. You can't lock onto another clique because that clique knows all the other people. You know, if you're only from a small town, I fought mine. I would make fun of people, and that's exactly how I guess I formed this retarded personality I have now. Is when guys would come at me and try to I would just embarrass them with words in front of everybody around them. And then they would not want, that made them want to hit me more. But in the same sense, they knew that it was never going to quit coming. And I told them, I will never stop making fun of you. And I was able to get out of it. I remember being circled by a guy named Chuck. I won't say his last name. But there's a group around me and I just started just wailing on this guy, making fun of everything he did. And he would just get more and more mad, but he wouldn't swing for some reason. And I was like, hey, this has value. Mm. And then that started happening all the time. I would just start ragging on people.
So you remember why they picked on you? It was because your ROTC?
Was part of it. Also, I had a chipped tooth.
Oh, right.
You know, I had a chipped tooth. So I had a nickname in high school. My nickname was Chipper.
Right.
Because they're real sensitive to stuff like that.
I was picked on for being the fat kid and having big ears.
I had that big ear thing when I was younger.
Fat kid, big ears. You know, that's why they picked on me initially. But until my dad, I got a whipping for not fighting back. And then he's like, look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have whipped you in front of everybody because I never taught you how to fight. So we spent the rest of the night, like from 2 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning, learning how to. He filled up his Marine Corps bag with a bunch of towels, and I had to learn how to punch and fight. And then when I realized, hey, if you fight the bully, they actually get scared and back down. Then I was fighting every bully in town, which I found was fun. I realized later it was probably bad. But your bullying thing was because you were too tall.
Yeah, well, because it's always that one thing. That one thing that makes you different in class, right? So I was the only Spanish kid in the majority of the time in any of the bases that we lived or any of the classes I was in. And that was the year, like I said, I started really, really growing. So I was the tall, skinny kid in class, the newest kid there. And this dude, George, just for whatever reason that year, decided that I was the focus of all his anger or whatever. And so for a couple months, it was fights at the school, at the bus stop. It was fights at after school at the bus. You know, it was always at the bus stop. And then we ended up moving. And then it was that following summer, again, getting into trouble at school and not being able to really defend myself, one of the airmen that worked for my father came from a family who had, they had karate schools all over Puerto Rico.
Right.
This guy decides, you know, talks to my dad and says, hey, would you mind? Let me show your kid how to fight, whatever. And it was basically like your story, learning how to fight or learning how to defend yourself that basically stopped that type of situation for me, you know?
Yeah, it gave you the power, like, okay, I can do this, you know, if I have to. And I remember the instinct, though, being not wanting to. I remember I didn't want to fight back. I wanted to just get along, you know. Can we all just get along? But you know, yeah. And my other friends, they didn't have a dad that would teach them how to fight or to stick up for themselves or whatever. So I felt like it was my job to help my friends out, and that turned into a big.
Your son get bullied? I can't remember.
What's that?
Did your boy get bullied? I can't remember.
He did. Yeah, he had a situation in school, and he was being bullied. And of course, me and his mom might have looked at it differently. She's like, "Oh no, go tell the teacher. You don't want to tell him to fight." I'm like, "Yeah, come here, boy. This is where me and your mom differ. I'm a man. I'm telling you as a man, you got to stand up to him." Yeah. But mom says I should go tell the teacher. Well, dad is telling you that you need to stand up to him and do not let. And he ended up standing up to him, and I think they got into a little scuffle. Now the kid never bothered him again.
Yeah.
And people tell me, oh no, it's a different time now. You can't tell your kids to fight now because in middle school you don't know if they're going to pull a gun or a knife or whatever. But
which is true.
Yeah. I guess.
What would you guys, or how do you guys feel, or how do you think the parents of all these other kids who go to this middle school, who he's talking about,
yeah,
like this week, what do you think that's going to be like?
Like whatever kid actually poured the milk on him and it's getting they got to be tripping out because, yeah. I mean, you know, like.
Because the response, even, I mean, socially, I mean, it was one of the news stories on CNN this morning.
Yeah, it struck a chord.
It was an NBC story that he's talking about. Mark Ruffalo has invited him to come to the opening of
Chris Evans.
And Chris Evans did as well. They want him to come, what is it, the new Avengers movie. Yeah, they want him to walk the red carpet. He's got they've got other sports stars that want him to come to the game. Like, he's getting all kinds of.
And you know what? That's all well and good, I think. But I think just once again, like in any one of these situations, it takes people speaking up to say, yeah, I kind of used to do that too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm dead. As I'm sitting here, all these memories are flooding back of my friends that I grew up with in my neighborhood that I would get bullied by a certain. And bullying is a loose term, I guess. Whatever, picked on, whatever. And then I would take it out, and I won't say his last name, on Nate. And I'm thinking of Nate right now. I'm friends with Nate to this day. I still think about me bullying him for no other reason other than to make myself look cool to two other kids in our same group, in our same neighborhood, on the same street.
That I already thought you were cool.
No. They did, but it was like, oh, when I hung out with them, they thought I was cool, but if I hung out with Nate, then they would say, oh, you're hanging out with Nate, he's a nerd, and then I would fight with Nate and make fun of him, and Nate would be like, dude, we were just hanging out the other day. What's going on? And as a kid, this was happening on our street with all our parents that paid attention to us most of the time on many different levels. So what I'm saying is this, yeah, as much as we're standing up and sharing, you know, this video of poor Keaton, I take onus on that. Back when I was younger, I did that. I wasn't your classic bully by any stretch of the imagination, but I know I bullied certain individuals,
yeah,
and I'm sorry for it. I feel bad about it, and I've actually apologized to Nate about it. I've seen him later in life and sent him a message about it.
We were just Nate and the redhead kid. What happened?
Since
all of a sudden, the redhead kid turns on me, turns his head backwards, a different guy altogether.
Since all of us have been bullied, do you think that maybe it is just a part of human nature? It, for whatever reason, social grouping, whatever, it, you know, the survival of the fittest,
Yes, Russ. It's primal.
It's primal. It's a primal thing that we really. I mean, obviously, we need to get a handle on or whatever. But for whatever reason, you get a group of kids. There's always going to be some that are going to group together and try to push down what they think is the weaker.
It's in every animal group. It's in chickens. You put a bunch of chickens together, the chickens will figure out the weakest chicken, attack it, and kill that chicken.
Yeah,
not the chickens.
Not the damn chickens.
Well, how about I'm not saying
chicken
it's right.
Chicken beef.
Well, one of the most classic stories of the time that we're in right now in Christmas is this. The Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer story,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's a story of bullying, is it not?
100%.
Because he's different.
Yeah, but he's different, and that's why he got bullied. Matter of fact, he tried to change who he really was, put mud on his nose, whatever.
Right.
And then went. Then the most popular guy in all the place liked him, and then everybody else kind of had to like him. I mean, Santa is Chris Hemsworth.
I wonder what would have happened if, when Santa came to say, Rudolph, will you, with your nose so bright, will you guide my sleigh? What if Rudolph would say, no, you might have been picking on me.
Christmas ends because he crashes into a mountain.
And you've been letting this happen?
You're
responsible, Santa Claus, and you've been letting this happen? No, I'm not guiding your stupid sleigh. That'd be a totally different story, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be all together. Maybe even more fun.
Guide your own sleigh, Tubby.
Yeah, guide it into a mountain, dummy.
But this young man, I mean, it really is heartbreaking to see. And unfortunately, this just happened to be caught on video, and it's on Facebook, but this happens every day, almost at every middle. I think middle school is where it happens the most. You know, high school, you've already worked some of that stuff out. There is some bullying going on, but at that age,
that's online bullying. It's more so on high school.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. That's actually the biggest form of bullying. It's because it's nonstop. It's all day. Yeah. You know, they find you on different sites. The kids are smarter than the parents. There's apps. There's messaging. There's PlayStation. There's all these ways that you leave school, and damn, man, they're still on my ass. Yeah.
How many great movies have been based around? I was just thinking Karate Kid, you know, one of the great movies of the skinny outsider standing up for himself and against the good-looking, popular kid in school. I mean, it's a story, if you think about it, that resonates so many generations before us and will continue to have that same feel. It's good guy versus bad guy, humble guy versus guy or girl, for that matter. Mean Girls is another one. What's the other movie that recently came out where the chicks are real catty to the other one? Heathers was one, right?
And then when you go into them, you'll see the bully usually has a reason why they're a bully.
They get bullied at home.
They were treated bad. It was like in Breakfast Club, you know? The one guy's the bully or whatever, and you realize that, man, he was messed up because his family life is messed up. Most every bully has some sort of a problem behind that, too. And
some of them are just dicks. You know, some people are just that way. They're just born inherently mean.
So do you think that when people do bully, it's to make themselves feel better about themselves, right?
Absolutely. Like, something's happening at home. Something's happening with that person. So, you know, whatever skill set that it is, and they project that on, or they do, you know, they find the weaker person to pick on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of been studied and proven in that regard, you know? So something's going on with that person, and they got to feel stronger themselves.
So have you guys had the discussion with your kids about being bullied?
You got to stand up for yourself immediately, you know. And you know, there's some kids that you can tell that there's no parents and they're doing any type of parenting. When you talk to them, like, the kids doing what in class? Yeah, it's insane, especially you can see it at elementary school.
My daughter actually was the one. I had a daughter that she was the one who got bullied the worst all throughout school.
Really?
Of my son and my other two, I have one daughter that had a problem child, and for some reason, this girl just didn't like her.
Yeah.
She was pretty. Either the girl that, or maybe the boy she liked my daughter. So instead of taking it out on him or figuring out a way to deal with it that way, she immediately goes after my kid. And it lasted for about a month. And this was in elementary school, guys.
Yeah.
This was like, you know, fifth, sixth grade, somewhere in that world, you know. So, I mean, I think Carlos is relatively accurate. I think if you're going to try to be a bully, you're going to start testing those waters at a relatively young age. If you feel that makes you get that thrill, that rush, whether it be shoplifting or whatever, whether you putting someone else down makes you feel good, well, I think you learn that at a young age.
407-916-1041. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Nobody else is going to put up with your nonsense.
Call now, toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
From the... Radio!
And so we're talking about Keaton Jones, the little boy that has been on social media and also like a national news talking about being bullied at school. And it's heartbreaking to watch it. It really is. It makes you sad. And then you think about your own kids, and then you think about maybe the way you were bullied, or maybe the way you might have bullied people when you were younger. And, you know, makes you wonder, I mean... Sounds like he's going through like physical bullying, like someone pouring milk on him.
They're putting hands on him. That's not cool on any level.
At all. But, you know, then as you get older, then it's the cyberbullying thing that we hear a lot about now, which I don't know. Psychologically, I don't want to say it's worse, but it can be. You know, there was someone that last week, I think, a porn star that committed suicide because she was being cyberbullied.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw that she committed suicide, but I didn't know why. I figured it was just the lifestyle or whatever. You know, the funny thing is you know, your Facebook thing now and your Twitter and Instagram profiles follow you wherever you go these days, and it's very interesting. We had something happen on the cruise ship this past week that I found very interesting. We had a guy show up at one of the card tables, and he was belligerently drunk, and really, I mean, being really disrespectful to his wife.
Right.
Who was sitting there, and he was drunk and yelling at her, and it was really gross. Well, it turns out the guy's a real estate professional with a real estate company that is a relatively big deal up in Canada. Because guess why? We know that. Because as we sat there watching him be a dick to his wife,
right,
we looked his name up because we could see his little pass card when he was getting drinks and stuff. Code Black went right to his Facebook page and looks at me and goes, do you want to say something or do you want me to say something? In other words, we literally could have videotaped this guy being a complete douchebag to his wife, belligerent, drunk, no question it's him, posted it on his page and say, this is the real this guy. And how much value do you think that would have to a guy, especially in the world of real estate,
oh, yeah,
how much value that would have to a customer base who thought he was, sure, he was a great guy. Oh, yeah, they're the happiest couple ever. And here's this guy, assuming he's in his own world, you know, safe from everybody seeing him, acting like a complete dick.
Yeah.
And that can happen. So every time you're an ass to somebody, you have to assume sometimes somebody's paying attention and maybe do know who you are and put that video or that story up about you.
Hey, when you brought this up, you said something about, you know, famous bullies, like characters. And the first one that come to my mind was, like you said, the Karate Kid, like Johnny, right? That's his name, Johnny?
Yeah, yeah.
From Karate Kid. And then who would be the bigger or the more famous bully? Would it be him or Biff from Back to the Future?
Biff is a really good, one of the best ever. And you have to understand, look how they all end. The little guy nuts up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And makes that swing, right?
Yeah, so that would you call Biff the king of the bullies, probably?
I think Biff has to be, because if you look at Johnny used popularity really more than anything. Biff himself, really, with his two buddies, were outsiders, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Johnny was popular in all the school.
Right.
Biff was just a pure bully with his two stooges with him.
But I guess the story of bullies goes back, I mean, you know, ages, right? I mean, it's something that has always been around.
Well, I mean, look at the Disney movies. If you really want to get into it, the bad princesses, if you boil it down, you know, they're using their position to oppress or make fun of someone who is, quote, under them.
It's funny. So people are texting in the different movie bullies that they remember.
Yeah.
Did you ever get caught up in that movie, Dazed and Confused?
I never saw the entire thing.
All right, so it's a really good movie, but it's a very, you know, specific times, like the 70s kind of thing. And this is one of the first times Ben Affleck is in a movie. And it's that's the movie where All Right came from.
Yeah.
So he plays a bully in that movie, Fred O'Bannon. And
I do remember that. Yeah.
So there's people texting in different bullies that they remember from movies.
Chet from Weird Science.
Oh, that's right. That's Chet. Chet and
Big. He's a big brother.
But he only bullied his brother.
That's
so that
right.
makes it a really weird thing. We don't really see Chet, other than being an ass to the chick. I mean, when you hit somebody on the head with a shotgun.
You know, if we're doing the Bully Hall of Fame, you got to have Biff, you got to have Chet, you got to have Johnny.
How about Los Guys? See if you agree with me on this one. Debo.
Yeah, he's the greatest bully. Yeah.
No, what's that from?
From Friday.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a good one. Huh. Yeah, so what do you think is going to happen to this? You know, now this is really blown up over the weekend with this young man. Keaton Jones. Yeah, at his school, the kids that were bullying him, man.
Well, if it's like any other trajectory of any other social media star, this is how it works. Oh, somebody finds it. This is amazing. We need to share this across the world. It's done out of genuine kind of need or support or whatever. This rise happens. Celebrities start sharing it. The whole world starts sharing it. Donald Trump gets mixed in there somewhere. I don't know whether he hates him or loves him. And then it keeps going. And then it breaks the bow. And then we start attacking him.
Yeah.
Then we're saying Keaton
used to bully his little sister.
Right. So like, exactly. Then something to do with his family. And then they're disowned by half the nation. And then they're part of a charity concert. And
it's already happening, Carlos. They're already going after his mom. We've already had a couple texters texting in, calling, you know, oh, this is obvious, going after the mom.
Because why did she put it out?
No. So there's that part of it. They're trying to get at them. I don't know who created the GoFundMe account, but there's been a GoFundMe account created for him, and those monies are going to his college fund.
Okay.
So that's that part of it. But Lois is completely right. The last person that this happened to, think about it.
Chewbacca mom.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Got to a point. She wasn't being bullied, but you're right.
The trajectory, boom, boom, boom.
We love her. We hate you, lady.
Yeah, people got mad because toy companies were making toys for her and all these things, and it completely flipped on her, where she had to consciously take a step away from social media for a little bit.
Wait a minute, you're getting something I don't have?
Yeah, now there's the hashtag Stand With Keaton. It's just, it's really weird how our society...
We all jump on something.
I'm as guilty as anybody else. I genuinely saw the video, and I was like, oh, let me share this. I didn't realize it was going to be shared by...
The only reason I saw it was Paul Stanley put it up, and Paul Stanley felt really bad for this kid.
It's on right now.
Is it on right now?
Right now it's on. If you turn on to, it's on right now.
And then after that, I saw, this celebrity was a part of it, and everybody was sharing it. Because it strikes a nerve with all of us, because all of us either know someone that's bullied, you were bullied yourself, or you got kids that have had to deal with it, and the way the kid talks about it and says it, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, I hope the best thing that can come from this is that he becomes kind of a spokesperson for it, not in the classic sense, or maybe the defined sense where he has to go about it, but maybe he takes this and runs with it.
Well, he's a well-spoken kid, too.
He was, man, and that's why I think it struck a chord, because there have been other videos where kids kind of reach out and stuff like that, that maybe just didn't hit the right zeitgeist at that moment. But in this age of the underdog and the age of people who are being abused and treated badly, I think it was the perfect time to speak up.
Yeah. It was everywhere too.
It really was.
I mean, every celebrity was talking about it, which I was surprised.
It's got to be overwhelming, right? Like, one second you're filming your kid because you think, God, as a parent, what else can I do? I've gone to the school. I've talked to the parents. I'm there. I'm a productive parent, and yet it still happens, so let me film it. I mean, it may be in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, maybe this will go viral and maybe touch it, but not at this level where it's like...
But you open up a very interesting chapter into a book that we've seen morph for quite a while now. Now, really, on top of the kid being, like, you know, being exalted, I mean, now, if you look at this, I mean, not management, but the upper level guys at the school, whether it be the principal, the vice principal, the dean, now they're on blast.
Yeah.
Because now people are like, you know, how does this happen?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying.
How does a kid that obviously has a physical deformation that allows kids to make fun of him, he's different, he speaks differently, he looks differently, how does this happen? How do you see an obvious target of bullying and have it be so prevalent that a mother has to reach out to the general effing public for some type of security for her child? What are you not doing in your school, principal, vice principal, dean?
That's the part that I'm curious about this week, today, Monday. After this thing breaks, what's happening in that school? What are the principals? Because that's another thing. If you notice it through the texting, there's been a handful of parents that are texting in, teachers are texting in, and it sounds like sometimes that they're dealing with administrations or school officials that somehow have their hands tied.
Or
don't have a plan in place to deal with these types of situations, whether they can or cannot. I don't know. It's just that's the feedback I'm reading now with through the texting.
Yeah. You go to the middle school and say, look, my son or my daughter's being bullied. They don't really jump up and do something right away. I should say this, though. If you are having a problem with that, if we talk to Detective Barb every week, and Crime Line, that's something they deal with because, you know, it is an issue. So if your child does feel like they're being bullied, they can call 1-800-423-TIPS, and they will have a police officer come out and deal with it that way. And it's completely anonymous, so your child doesn't get other kids picking on him because they told authorities. But
is that the Speak Out program? Is that what it's called?
Speak Out, yeah.
After that, I kind of looked up, all right, what should you do if your kid is bullied? Like, things that if it is outside of your hands. And the number one thing it says is try and get them involved in something physical, a club, something that they feel a part of. Because if they don't feel a part of anything, then that's really at that age when they can really start to drop quickly.
Right.
And so you got to get them a part of a group, whether it's a sport or whether it's a club or whether it's a church or whether it's giving back. You know, so if your kid is being bullied right now, that was the thing that I read over and over again, was to have them make them feel like they're a part of something.
Well, when my boy started having some problems younger, I said, look, there's two choices. Either you have to join the drama club or become a brony.
That'll stop one or the others. I remember a girl, I think it was in the fourth grade, and she was in, her house caught on fire, and she was burned over 90% of her body, And I remember kids picking on her, man, and calling her names and stuff. And it's like, man.
You know what's funny, though? There was a girl, well, not funny, but I mean, in that same regard, there was a girl, her name was Shanae, and she was also burnt. I don't even know what happened to her. But nobody messed with Shanae.
Yeah.
Nobody messed. She would jump in.
Because her brother was D-Bo.
Exactly. Yeah, I think her brother was a big-ass dude. But she just wouldn't take it. So it's also, it's a type of personality that these bullies can sense, well, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else, too. And that's good. I know we got 5 seconds. Based on what Carlos just said, so the quarterback, star quarterback of our football team in high school, was a guy named Lawrence. And Lawrence was ripped. His brother was bigger than him, who also wore dresses to school because right. he was gay. Guess who never got picked on? 6'3" gay Lawrence's brother.
Right.
Because nobody had the balls, even old Chuck, to step to that dude because you don't want to get stomped out by a dude wearing a dress, especially in P-Town.
Real Radio 104.1.
Why does my girlfriend's cat hate me?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Until then, just tell her to play WTKS Orlando.
Getting WTKS Orlando Radio from iHeartRadio.
You're listening to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1 on this beautiful Monday. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Weather's a little chilly out there. How's the any traffic problems so far?
Yeah, we had a pretty big accident just off the road here.
So. Yeah, and there's one down in Oak Ridge earlier
that's
this morning.
One, yeah. So, and then there's other breaking news coming out of New York.
I saw that. Yeah. So that breaking news, I guess police are responding to a possible explosion on the New York subway. And this is at 42nd Street?
42nd and 8th. It's completely shut down. It's near the New York City Port Authority bus terminal.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much this underground complex of all sorts of different types of transportation.
And that's all they have right now because it's like breaking
it's
news.
Yeah, it's happening as we speak. So,
well, boy, imagine the... So that means all more than likely that all
buses,
the subways
that's
are stopped.
That's all. Yeah, that's the one place where they all kind of converge. You know,
right?
So yeah, it's going to be pretty hectic.
It's Monday. If you want to, I guess one of the six things you knew we talk about, we can do that. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041, or locally it's 407-916-1041. There's a story out where, do you guys, when you go into the grocery store and the person's out there with ringing the bell, you know, from the Salvation Army,
yeah.
Do you take a couple extra bucks so you can drop it in there so you don't feel guilty? Do you not make eye contact and walk by him really fast? Do you say hello but not give anything? What do you do with that situation?
It depends. Got some cash on me, feel like giving, give. I don't think about it on the way out,
yeah.
But I always say Merry Christmas. That's like my time where I can know they're going to say Merry Christmas.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So I get my nice wholehearted Merry Christmas,
yeah.
And I walk in.
Will you change the door that you're going to walk through?
No.
Because I know I'm guilty.
I'm guilty of that, too. I'm like, I'm going to walk over this way because I don't want to look in the eye. I don't have any cash on me.
I always go up and go, how much silence will $5 get me?
Yeah.
Jesus H with that thing.
I do feel bad for the people that they have to ring the bell continuously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that must be the number one thing to get that job because I've seen some people... Well, I don't think they can do anything else.
Right.
Except ring that bell.
Yeah.
And that must be like the job. You walk in, like, you want to work for Salvation Army? Sure. Can you ring this bell? Think so.
Yeah.
Hired. That's about it.
Somebody, this was in California. No, I'm sorry. Portland, Oregon, put $10,000 in the Salvation Army bucket.
Wow.
All $100 bills.
That's when I abscond with said Salvation Army bucket.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just don't check in that day with my earnings.
Yeah, they put that's a lot of money.
How do they regulate that, though, for real? If somebody wanted to just kind of reach in there and grab that, how would they know that somebody snatched, you know, let's say somebody does put $10K in there.
Maybe they don't count it.
And then you go in and go, hey, look, you know, somebody gave us a great $9,000 donation this morning.
right.
Man, I'm guessing, Jimmy, that the people they have aren't tabulating at the end of the night the money.
Hey, the people that are doing the dinging, the people that are ringing the bell and stuff, do they get a bonus if they get more than the other guys?
They're getting work comp hours right now. They're working, I mean, a lot of those times it's community service.
But if your bucket makes more money than the other guy's bucket is over at the other public.
Oh, you can't give a guy a bonus. Yeah. That's just completely random.
No, because I mean, yeah. Well,
they get paid.
If you get into a draw, like if you're, it's weird. You would think that areas where there are more wealthy people, like say here in Windermere or Winter Park,
right,
that those buckets would get more. But stereotypically, those people are a little tighter with their cash.
That's true.
And they give in other ways throughout the year. And this is maybe one year where everybody feels like they've given $10 Salvation Army. They've done their charitable work for the year. I do find it interesting. The texting service is checking in this morning. If you'd like to do so, we love it. 77031 is the number. Just save that as Real Radio, brought to you by David Moss Toyota. And they're saying that those guys who ring the bell, what do you think they make an hour?
I think they probably make about $10 an hour.
Yeah, they say $10 to $11 an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
That's better than most retail jobs.
More than minimum wage, right?
Minimum wage is $7.25.
Yeah, so you're making more than that.
So I wonder if in the city, your bucket consistently, because you're really good at it, you're really nice, or you have a certain way of just getting people to donate, I wonder if they get a little extra love.
I can't imagine they get
that. And their
paycheck. It would go against the entire theory of the charity.
Why? Really? Because if you think about it, let's say you have a guy who's just sitting there, and he's just some dodo, and you're like, ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding. He's no life. He's got his hat on. You know he hates it. As opposed to a very perky woman who's like maybe in her 60s, who's got a lot of energy, and she loves the season.
Yeah.
And she's dancing and doing little numbers and everything like that. And her bucket earns more money.
I think she deserves that extra.
That's not how that happens.
And then you take that money and you put it back to the people that, you know, don't have food or toys for Christmas.
Look, this is a theory.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the other story, though? There's some guy in Portland, Oregon, who thought he dropped off $20,000 at one of these bins.
Oh,
damn.
No.
And they only found 10.
They got 10, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Darren, you're on Real Radio, 1-4-1.
Hey, I'm just commenting on the Salvation Army. Two things. Number one, a bucket that you put the money in, you can't put your hand back in there. It's like has a little trap thing.
Yeah.
And number two, you don't have to just ring the bell, because my wife did that for one day, and you could sing. Like, if you wanted to sing,
yeah,
you're right.
You just have to make noise. I mean, you just have to do something. You can carol. You don't
juggle.
Hey, do you know if they get bonus?
Like Jenga?
If their bucket raises more money than everybody else's, do they get any kind of extra little perk or a bonus or, I don't know, like a free McDonald's or something?
Yeah, they get perks, and it's not money perks because they can't do that, but they'll get, like $50 gift certificate to Olive Garden or something like
that.
There
you go.
I'm kind of with Russ, though. Free McDonald's isn't the worst offer ever.
Right, yeah. You know, like if your bucket is number one in the city, you get Big Macs for a week or something like that. That'd be cool.
I'm kind of down with that. I mean, I don't have a horrible problem with it.
Hey, Matt, you're on Real Radio 1-4-1.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Matt.
Right up.
Hey, this is probably not one, but I thought I'd give it a shot. How about the violence that's flared up in Israel?
Oh, you're guessing that as one of the six things you thought that I woke up this morning and I wrote down on a piece of paper. Man, we got to talk about the violence in Israel. Come on, man. How long have you been listening?
Too long.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I didn't have that written down. You're right about that. You know what? I will tell you that the story that really captivated me all weekend was this one with this kid, because I watched that so many times.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see how many celebrities are... I don't say jumping onto it, but I'm saying that it motivated so many famous people.
Well, you have to remember, too, man, a lot of celebrities
were bullied.
Went into that business because it was the one thing they thought, whether it be drama club or whatever the case may be. But you look at them, a lot of the actors, leading men, are smaller guys. You know, they were probably picked on, maybe even because they're good looking. You know, people are coming at them because they're good looking. They got more girls. Bullies hate that, you know. So, I mean, it makes sense that guys like this want to help out. Plus, you know, look, let's face it. It looks good on them as well. I mean, let's don't discount the situation that it looks good for guys to step up and invite them to a red carpet type scenario. I mean, please don't discount that. It has value as well.
I guess. Angel?
Yeah, let me ask you guys this. What if we find out that Keaton's mom might not be the nicest person?
Okay, what does that entail?
I don't know.
Okay,
because I'm getting some peripheral informations here.
Okay,
and I'm trying to follow up and find out these things that people are like swearing that is true out there.
I don't think it matters about the mom. Right? It's the kid.
I think it does matter. Right?
Oh, why?
Okay. Well,
if we're looking at this, we've already dissected it. Dude, we've gone from this, the beginning of the show. Forget and this doesn't take away from anything from that poor kid, but. This is totally assuming, right? Let's just talk about it like as if this is the case. Because I'm thinking about it for me. What if she's arrested for assault a bunch of times, right? What if she has a history of violence? This is not, I have zero evidence of this. I want to just make clear
this. We're all purely speculating. We're playing what if.
This is a hypothetical.
Purely hypothetical. Because, you know, I got in some trouble in my past. And let's say if my daughter started bullying somebody, we're like, well, look at her father. He was, he used to get in trouble a lot. He used to like to fight and stuff.
But this kid's being bullied. He's not the bully, you know?
That's true. I don't know. I was thinking of the other way around, really, but.
Yeah.
No, it still comes into play, right? Because then it's like, well, yeah, your kid's being, but you're a bully.
Right.
You fight people. I don't know.
I'm just like trying to figure out, like, I don't think there's anything I could find out about this kid's mom that's going to change the way I feel about what he's going through.
I agree.
And people keep trying to, already this morning, we haven't done the whole arc yet. I still thought he had a couple of days to ride this out.
Yeah.
And we've had about four or five texts. Oh, have you seen this about the mom? And I'm looking up these. I haven't seen that. No, where did you find this? And no one's able to corroborate or tell me where they're finding these other things in question about the mom.
And I think the celebrities or even just the people in general, not just celebrities, that this is striking a chord with are people that probably were bullied as a kid. They can identify with that feeling that kid's going through, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question. The texting service just said something very interesting, and I don't know if this is true, but apparently the kid, Keaton, has a GoFundMe page already.
Yeah.
Yeah, they set up for a college fund, and it wasn't set up by him.
Okay, that has $35,000 in it already.
But it's specifically for college.
And more than likely, by the end of the day, that number is going to be considerably more. I mean, it just went on ABC News this morning. It's a national story. We're talking about it. I'm sure people in our building right now, other morning shows, are probably talking about it as well. Eventually, a dollar here, $5 there, $10 there. One guy crazy who got bullied as a kid. Now he's a tech scientist making millions, drops in 10 grand here or there. At what monetary point?
Is it too much?
The Chewbacca mom, and the Chewbacca mom's even different because she was just a laughing big girl, and it was one of those things. This kid obviously has something that you can look at and say, there's no question this kid is a target for bullying. At what point do you turn? Is it 1 million? Is it a half a million? Do people go, okay, look, dude, I mean, my kid gets bullied, too. Do I get a half a million?
And there's a lot of people thinking that, I'm sure, that where their kids are being bullied maybe
that
even worse than this kid.
That happened to Chewbacca mom. A couple of the toy companies cut checks for her kids. And they're like, oh, okay, this is where it gets to be too much. She's making money off this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Real Radio, 104.1. Welcome to the Monsters Mornings of Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, reminding you that this Wednesday we'll do our Monster annual. It's the annual Christmas wish show that we do live on the air. We'll do that on Wednesday. So if you have a Christmas wish, you want to get it out on the air, you can put it out in the universe and hope that somebody grants it. Well, that is going to be on Wednesday. And then this Friday, from 4 to 7, it's the Monster Holiday Meetup at Ember. I'll be at Ember for 3-for-1 drinks. So it's this Friday. It's the December edition, the holiday edition. So come on out, and I bet we'll have a bunch of prizes to give you. It'll be a cool time. It's this coming Friday at Ember. 407-916-1041. Is her name Classy?
That's what she says.
Classy, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing?
Good. That is my name.
Classy. Ooh, that's a good name.
I have been bullied for my name, but...
When I was about to read it, I wondered if you had been bullied when you were a kid for your name. Did you ever want to change your name or have them call you something else?
You know, my brother caused most of the bullying, and so people would chime in with him. But it's my grandmother and my great great grandmother's name, and then to grow up and know how wonderful they are. And my name is so unique. I'm a bartender, so a lot of people remember it. I love my name.
Yeah, good. But when you were a kid, there probably was some times where you were like, oh man. They're teasing me, so,
Yeah, a lot of people think, Lassie, come home. But nobody remembers that show anymore, so I'm good.
Oh, Lassie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lassie.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with it now, like, with your kids?
Well, I have three girls, and yet, you know, I only have two in school, and I don't deal with bullying, but I make sure every day, my biggest fear is not that my kids will be bullied, because I'll take, you know, that'll get taken care of. I don't want my kids to be a bully. And I think more parents need to spend time with their kids talking about to not be a bully, to not be a jerk.
You're right.
Like, my dad kicked our butts because we weren't even bullying a girl. We were excluding her from our group, like our little neighborhood group when we were kids. And my dad was like, oh, no, I don't think so. You don't treat people like that. And I think more parents, I mean, some kids, unfortunately, just have crap parents, and they don't give two liver lips about what their kids are doing at school or in their life. But there's some parents that need to know, your kid's being a jerk at school, fix it. Do something about it. And they need to be held responsible. If their kid, I live in a town where a couple years ago, a young girl committed suicide and jumped from a silo.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
In Lakeland, Florida.
That was in Lakeland, yeah.
And because of bullies. And it's like, if you know your kid's being a jerk, fix it. Do something about it, or you need to be held responsible.
Yeah, that was a horrible kid. God, if you read all the bullying on the online, the other kids were telling her to kill herself, and it was horrible.
You got to remember, there was also a really, really unique story where the girl talked her boyfriend into
that
killing himself.
Happened, yeah.
That was just settled. She just got sentenced recently, and that was a boyfriend-girlfriend. She was like, you're such a bitch. Why don't you go ahead and do it? Go ahead and do it. I don't believe you'll do it or whatever.
Well, he had gotten out of the car because he was in the car in the garage. He had gotten out. She goes, get back in.
Yeah, she was taunting him to go through with it because I guess he'd threatened it a couple of times or whatever. But it happens, and you know, it's so funny because we always assume it is like a movie. We were talking about it earlier, like it's, you know, Back to the Future or Karate Kid or whatever, but it really does. It has so many faces and masks, you know, interrelationship bullying. You know, you name it something else, but when you really boil it down, one person using power or affluence or a situation over another is basically bullying when you look at it.
And also, too, the sexual harassment stuff we're hearing, you know, with all the, you know.
That's a form of it as well.
Yeah, it's men that feel like they can bully women and do what they want to do with them. And
they have no recourse. Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you pick on somebody, it has no recourse.
That's bullying. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was right, though. That was a good point that she brought up. There are probably a lot of parents that don't think about that.
And don't tell, okay, make sure you're not the bully.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would think for most of us, don't assume our child would do that.
Yeah, sure. But it's usually right under your noses, you know, when it's going on. I mean, you see so many parents that don't even. This is one thing that bothers me. I know it has nothing to do with it, but it kind of does. When you see a kid who doesn't say thank you, and the parent goes, say thank you, and the kid doesn't say thank you, yet they move on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a little thing like that they don't, you don't, no, you say thank you right now in front of me, and if you don't, you're going to get in trouble for it. And that's a little small kind of way of how you keep your kids in check. And I see those parents all the time. They don't even enforce that. They sure as hell aren't going to enforce their kids, you know, picking on other kids.
Let me ask you, and once we're talking about all this, the bullying part of it, and then also to the sexual harassment part of it, and not touching people and all this. I saw a debate the other day, and it was talking about the holidays. And talking about your kids, and when let's say you got your kids, and grandma comes over or uncle somebody comes over, they didn't see them, and you say, Lennon, give your uncle JoJo a hug.
Oh, yes. You can't do that.
And uncle, and she doesn't want to give Uncle JoJo a hug, but you're like, give him a hug, force him to. And there are a lot of people saying that is a form of abuse to make your kid hug grandma or hug grandpa when they don't want to.
You can't do that anymore. No, you can't make them.
Really?
There's a reason why the kid's doing that.
And there were people that were arguing. And once I said, wait a minute, like, grandma deserves a hug and she doesn't want a hug, but I'm going to make her hug anyway.
She smells like white diamonds and casserole.
And some people said that's abuse to make your child hug grandma if she doesn't want to. What do you think about that?
I would bully that person who said that.
There's a lot of people that said, like,
hypocrisy, I love it.
I know. Listen,
you shouldn't force your child to hug anybody.
Part of my childhood, there's a whole section of my parents telling me to do things like hug your grandma, hug your aunt,
right.
Say goodbye, say thank you, give them a kiss. And guess what? That's how you learn. That's how you learn to do these things. As a kid, you don't want to do anything.
Well, saying goodbye is one thing, but hearing this debate, they were saying, listen, you should not force your child at any age to hug or kiss anyone they don't want to.
All right, so the article is by Katrina Hittner. And it basically, it's I don't own my child's body is the name of it. And she asserts, and these are her words, not mine, forcing children to touch people when they don't want to leaves them vulnerable to sexual abusers, most of whom are people known to the children they abuse.
I want to see what you think. Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From Radio. Radio.
You can text our show at 77031. That's 77031. You text us. Sometimes we'll text you back, and sometimes we'll read your text on the air. I was saving this until Stephen Kramer got here. I think he's running a little bit late. He'll be in a second. But you know, we were talking about bullying this morning because of the young man Keaton Jones, which is making all kinds of national news, and people are talking about it. And so, and I've been kind of making a mental note and writing the things down of what is it that's the great equalizer with bullies, okay? And what I mean is, like Dirty Jim said, you know, that his way of equalizing a bully was to be have a sharp wit and be able to, you know, talk some smack. With me, my dad taught me how to fight. Next thing you know, if you stand up to a bully and you whip a bully's ass, all the other bullies get scared. One that I saw, and I saw it this weekend, and I've seen it here, and that is Ed Sheeran was on and did a thing on NBC, and he was bullied and picked on when he was a kid.
Now you can make me feel even more.
When you say a thing on NBC, did he make a pot of gruel?
No. They were interviewing him and talking to him, and one of the things that he said was the great equalizer was learning to play guitar. Yep. And I've seen several people on the texting service say that was their great equalizer. It's once you learn how to shred on the guitar, for whatever reason, bullies won't pick on you because you do something really cool.
Yeah, you know who that was, right? That was one of our oldest and old-time listeners, Evil Eye, who is an unbelievable guitar player. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and he said this. That's exactly what he said. He goes, I got picked on until people learned I could shred. It's always that talent contest thing, right? Where the kid you never see doing anything, what he's doing while you're playing baseball, is sitting in his room doing scales on his guitar. Talent test contest comes up. He rolls out there, shreds it up. Every chick in the joint goes crazy. And the bully's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it happens all the time.
That could be the great equalizer. Also, if you're good in a sport, that could get the bullies.
That goes to what Jimmy was saying with his kids, in the sense that you're doing these extracurricular activities, and there's structure in there. There's people that you can lean on. There's other, you know, it's another. You can become good at something, and people will respect you for being good at this
exactly.
skill.
Exactly. You're with, you're within a group of people who appreciates that skill set, right, or at least the attempt at.
Yeah.
So I know it works. I mean, who is the guys? Come on, who is the biggest target for bullying in any school anywhere in high school?
We mean the biggest target.
The biggest target.
A loner.
Band members.
Oh, the band.
Yeah,
members.
The guys in the band. Man, in the high school band used to get. I mean, just it was awful. But you know, that's one of those things where you know, for some reason. You know, they got picked out as being targets. And, of course, the loners, the outcast guys, you know, your goth dudes or whatever, because they were different.
Right.
But the band members were always, you band nerd. Hell, I was guilty of that.
But they would hang out together, so they kind of had a little click.
Yeah, they had their own
click.
Thing.
They
yeah, 100%, click. Man.
Kind of a deal. But
they didn't care.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what Ed Sheeran was saying, is that, you know, he was young, he was picked on, he was, you know, and then he started to learn to play guitar. And once that happened, then, you know, all the girls liked him and all the
bullies. Well, because I was going to say, you know what girls like? Guys that can sing to them.
Yeah.
You know what? It was an interesting interview as well. You know, in order to learn to speak better, he listened to Eminem. And he listened to Eminem, I mean, you know, like religiously. And his dad gave him his first Eminem album when he was 8 years old.
Yeah.
So he recently had a chance to meet Eminem and told him that. He said, I learned really to speak better without a stutter and to speak and write music because of you.
Well, he's on his album.
And I guess Eminem's like, man, you're making me feel old. And then now they've become buddies or whatever.
Yeah, he's on the new Eminem album.
Yeah. So that's that was a pretty cool story. But yeah, so, you know, I guess... for whatever reason, even bullies like someone who can play guitar.
Yeah, everybody likes music, man.
Yeah.
Even bullies have a favorite band.
Hey, now, were you in theater when you were in high school?
Never was.
No?
Never took a day of theater in high
school.
His
only drama, Russ, was on the streets.
Exactly. You know, I kind of regret not doing a little theater, but then again, like, it kind of worked out all right. Like, maybe I would have gone the theater route if I did more theater. But I would always look at it and be like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I did TV production. I was always the production guy and on morning announcements and doing all kind of same stuff I still do.
You know, earlier in the show, I told the story about going to see my daughter at Lake Wales High School, and that she had 100 students that they taught to dance, and it was the Alice in Wonderland thing or whatever. And there was a lot of boys that were in the performance or whatever. And I couldn't help but think, man, I wonder if they get picked on and bullied for being in a dance class or whatever. But they all were like ripped. Like it seemed like all the guys that were in this particular dance thing were all like in really great shape. They looked like they were athletes.
Yeah. I gotta assume in this day and age that, like, let's say you're more feminine or maybe gay kids aren't being picked on as much, right?
No, I don't. It's not like, you know, it's not like that at all.
Hope not. I mean, I would think that it's a much more progressive society, especially the younger people, that it's just like that's got to be foreign to them because it's been such a part of their landscape since they've been born.
Right.
Gay kids. Again, my kids have been out of school for a few years now, but the years they were in school, my daughters had gay friends, boys that they'd hang out with, and those kids never got picked on. I mean, it just wasn't like that anymore.
Yeah,
it's just a bizarre thing, but no, it didn't happen.
Hey, I'm curious. Stephen Kramer's here. I can't imagine. Okay, when you were young, when you were a kid, did you take up music or did you get into music because of, being bullied or that was a way to deal with it, or being a musician, did it get you picked on? Like, what was it that kids picked on you about?
Russ, in middle school, there are kids that are nerdy.
Yes.
And then there is the dorkiest kid in school.
Right.
And in sixth grade, that was me.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And, I mean, I got bad advice. I didn't have any siblings.
Right.
Only child at this point. My brother's 10 years younger. And my dad gave me advice when I lost my backpack once.
What'd he say?
Well, he didn't want to get me a new backpack. And he's like, oh, here's my old briefcase. Take this to school.
Oh, God.
Damn.
It gets worse because it wasn't like a stylish, like, Brooks Brother leather briefcase like what I carry now.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was like an old 70s, like, slide rule engineer briefcase. And he's like,
with the metal snaps on it?
Oh, yeah. And not like skinny and slim, like
the kinds the feds break into.
The kind you would need for a couple million in cash kind of thing.
He wasn't aware that it was going to make it worse.
Just
didn't know.
I mean, he just wasn't. He wasn't there to guide me. Like, I could guide my kids. Like,
you're
getting
picked on
Angel.
Because of your briefcase? This fedora should do it.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So, Russ, guys, I did everything. I didn't just learn guitar or piano. Like, I got ripped. I got on newspaper. I got in, like, weightlifting class. I did everything that you could do. So then I had this weird experience where freshman, by eighth grade, it kind of neutralized.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like a target as much anymore. And then ninth grade, you go to high school, and here's what happens.
Well,
in high school, it's giant compared to middle school. And plus, in middle school, I was like in a group of kids that was very isolated from the rest of the school. So when I got to high school, I didn't know anybody. So I get to high school, and there's like 2,500 people there, and none of them know me.
Right.
So I've got a shot at a fresh start. And then guess what? I meet one of my best friends, and he takes me under his wing. And he was like a little bit of a rebellious kid. You know, he'd been in military school, and he teaches me how to, like, you know, meet girls and teaches me everything I need to know. He had an older brother, an older sister.
You still friends with him?
Yeah. Actually, I went to dinner with him on Friday. How weird is that?
Wow.
But and then I become really, really cool in high school. And suddenly, like, by my junior year, I'm like one of the coolest guys in school, to the point where I loved high school. I mean, I really loved it because it was the complete polar opposite of middle school.
So in middle school, like, all the things that you were doing, like the playing guitar and all the music and stuff, was that to kind of combat all the being picked on, or was that why you
bought the briefcase?
Is that why you were being picked on?
No. I mean, I would consider, like, for me, it was like being turned off, just being unaware in middle school.
Yeah,
just the flip hadn't switched where I became aware, and I did all the things you're talking about. I learned how to be really witty and, you know, take down, you know, bullies with my own, you know, wit. And then I did what you talked about. I punched bullies in the nose, and I got in fights, too, because I was going to try everything in my arsenal. And funny thing, one time, the kids in my neighborhood, we were at the bus stop, and we got in a fight. I punched him in the nose, making fun of me pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then he punched me back, and then like, the weirdest thing happened. Like, a little while later, all of a sudden, he's like, you're pretty cool.
He wants to be your buddy. Yeah,
which is the craziest thing.
It happened every single time. Every single time, there'd be some bully picking on one of my friends. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, won't you pick on someone your own size? I'd whip their ass, and then they want to be my best buddy.
Okay, man, it's interesting how we sit here and say it, right? So I'm listening to this, and we're trying to eliminate all bullying. Mm-hmm. And obviously, nobody wants to see somebody bullied. But then there's this other element that teaches you. I mean... Everything you're saying is a reason you are the way that you are.
That's exactly right.
I mean, and so a health, if there is, that's an oxymoronic term, a healthy dose of bullying or whatever, but like...
It's something you have to deal with it.
It's interesting, you know? Those who don't deal with it,
you
falter.
You get tried and you get bullied your entire life in many different ways.
You do.
It can be physical, it can be mental, it can be at work with this guy's bullying you and trying to, you know... There's all kinds of ways you have to deal with it throughout your life, so you do have to learn to deal with it, unfortunately.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the problem. It's got to be like balance. I mean... It could get over the top these days with social media. It doesn't just stop in school.
Right.
It could be 24/7, 365 situation for a kid, which can be really, really tough when you're coming of age and you're just not aware of who you are. And that is where it goes too far. So when we were kids, it was just at school, and when you got home, it was a different world. And frankly, I did have a different relationship with the kids in my neighborhood than I did at school.
Boy, think how basic it is, because I'm sitting there talking to Stephen Kramer, and you're an attorney. And really, attorneys and lawyers, that's kind of what they deal with. They deal with bullies all the time. This person's trying to take advantage of that person. As an attorney, it's your job to make sure everything is fair. That's
well, true. You better believe that when I became, one of the cool kids in school, I did not tolerate kids getting bullied.
Right.
I mean, I did not tolerate that. And I was bigger. I was bigger than a lot of the other kids. And like I said, even though I didn't really play sports necessarily, I got ripped. I mean, I worked out a lot and I was able to help out with that. And I guess that I carried that with me always.
Yeah.
Because I had lived it and I wasn't going to, tolerate it.
I mean, because there's a lot of different forms of bullying, and as like an attorney, you probably deal with it when it comes to divorce or when it comes to corporate stuff. I mean, it happens frequently, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, literally, I've dealt with it for kids in school, that are getting bullied. I mean, and you would not believe. I mean, the stuff that happens now makes the stuff when we were growing up look like amateur hour.
I mean, really.
The stuff I've read is just so sad because it is. It's constant. I couldn't only imagine.
Slut shaming.
Yeah.
A lot of that slut shaming.
I'm sorry, God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Do you have a scenario for us, Stephen Kramer?
I do.
Let's see if we can figure this out.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
Today I learned how hard it is to get here sometimes. I wound up behind two school buses, each making stops.
Ah.
And then I had one of those mornings, I stubbed my toe, and I was solo this weekend because my other half flew out of town.
Yeah.
So I was kind of all alone handling everything.
Hey, I know you like to try a little bit of everything. You're a Renaissance man. You like to do a little bit of anything. If anyone ever invites you to go play frisbee golf, or I guess they call it disc golf, do it.
Yeah?
It's fun. So I did it yesterday. It was an absolute blast.
I have a lot of friends that do that.
Oh, do you really?
Yes.
It's amazing how many people do it.
What I was amazing was the weather this weekend.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
And it was like 62 degrees. Unfortunately, I had to turn on my heater, so it was 62 degrees in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Okay, what we got?
We are downloading, sorry.
No worries.
And the one good thing about the cold weather is it will keep your drink cool in your car.
How many bullies do you believe if you were to go back in your high school while this loads up and kind of research through Facebook? That's one of the other beautiful things about Facebook. It's like, wow, what are the popular people doing now? And you always kind of find, what are the nerdy guys? Now all the nerds are like trillionaires.
What are the living bullies in the doing?
What are the bullies doing? It's funny.
Revenge of the Nerds came true.
Yeah, they're the same guy.
Most of them are not successful. They're not doing anything.
They do more than anything? They don't learn life lessons.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've learned about the guys that I can look back in high school and go, oh, that guy was a complete hole his entire life, and look at him now.
Yeah, I haven't got any better.
Same guy, same thing. You see, this picture is reflective of somebody who lived a relatively lonely life,
Yeah.
I posted an article about people that peak And people that peak in middle school a lot of times peak early in life and then kind of struggle later on. So that's why you see that a lot. Is sometimes if you peak too early, there's a psychological reason behind that.
Yeah, those personality traits that make you a bully feed into being an adult. And as adults don't have to take it. Right. Adults have, you know, adults can go, oh, no, you're not hired or you are fired, you know?
Interesting. All right, so here's our scenario, hot off the press.
All right.
All right. This is a issue for recovery for assault. So Sam works the front desk at an auto repair shop.
Okay.
And one day, Cindy comes in to have her car serviced, right? So Sam had been to the Lions Tavern, a bar before working a shift, and was still pretty drunk by the time he gets there. And when Cindy asks about the cost of repair, the guy tells her he was going to grab her by the throat, which...
What?
It's kind of unprovoked.
That's a horrible mechanic.
Yeah. So, obviously, guy's got some anger issues.
Must have been a tough job.
He's drunk, he's on the counter, and she says, how much is it? I'm going to grab you by the throat.
So,
Cindy
then says that Sam lunges over the front desk to grab her, but she jumps out of the way. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, at trial, it comes out that the length of the desk from Sam to Cindy was over a foot, and that Sam couldn't have been large enough to reach over the counter, all right? Oh, and photographs get entered into evidence, and they show that it was unlikely Sam could even potentially reach over the desk because he's not that big a guy, all right? Maybe that's why he's so angry.
And hammered.
So Cindy's lying.
Well, you mean Cindy's lying, maybe.
That's what I'm asking. All right. Yeah, well, Cindy's lying.
We'll see. So the trial court finds Sam responsible for committing civil assault against Cindy, and Sam appeals. So Sam claims that he could not have possibly made the threat because of the limited height and the wingspan, and therefore he could not reach over the counter. Cindy claims this, that the threat alone was enough to constitute assault. So
he never touched her.
That's right. So the question for you guys is, can a civil assault be committed? Not criminal. A civil assault be committed absent a showing of ability to commit the actual battery.
So it's basically a threat.
Meaning, can she feel legitimately in fear for her safety if it couldn't have been committed because Sam's wingspan can't reach over the counter? Sam's not big enough to reach over the counter.
But she doesn't really know that at the time, and she doesn't really know if he's acting that crazy and that out of, you know, that's not normal behavior, and he's drunk too.
Doesn't this go back to the whole thing that somebody robbing a bank with their finger in their sweater? You know, doing the whole "I'm pointing the banana at you," and because I don't really have a gun, but in the eyes of the law, you might as well have an Uzi fully loaded and ready to roll.
Yeah,
because you're.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
The idea of presenting a weapon like that gives you the same feeling or mentality that you are being you're a victim of armed robbery. I would think that same exact mentality would apply to this.
Yeah, I would.
That yes, if she felt that way, but she would have to prove that though.
Yeah,
but even then, I mean, if a guy walks up,
because he said, "I'm going to choke you," and he reached for her, but yeah, you're saying he physically couldn't get over there because he's not tall enough.
It doesn't matter though.
But she doesn't know that he's saying.
Yeah. She's not an engineer. She's just, you know,
saying it is the crime anyway, isn't it?
Well, I do want to point out, Jimmy, and I don't know if this sways you or not. There's a difference between a criminal charge and a civil charge. So this is a civil charge for assault, and again, the evidence is that. Well, the big question is, why was he so angry that morning?
Yeah.
But aside from that, the evidence shows that there's no way that Sam could have reached over that counter. It just was physically impossible. Photographs come into evidence. It couldn't happen. So therein lies your question.
I say,
is her fear enough?
No.
I think she has a civil case.
I do not.
I do.
You guys disagree.
Civil cases are way harder to prove.
Yeah, I think she has a case because she was scared to death and she didn't know what he. Yes, I would say yes.
So Jimmy, you say no.
I say no.
All right.
Why do you say no again?
Again, I think that because that doesn't open up kind of a Pandora's box of, hey, I felt like I was going to be in fear, so I'm going to civilly sue you and start getting paid off. I think there has to be more to it than just, ooh, I'm afraid.
Carlos,
well,
if he couldn't do it, can she sue for civil assault?
Well, I'm thinking of him, right? So it's like, did you scream at her? Yes. Did you try? Did you say you were going to grab her throat? Yes. Were you angry and drunk? Yes. But I wasn't tall enough to reach her. That doesn't seem right to me. That seems like he had every intent of attacking her, but his physical limitations.
Under your logic, the same thing would apply like on a telephone call. If you called somebody and threatened them over the phone.
Because there's the McDonald's case where they had the person disrobe and take money, and it was all over the phone, and that person went to jail for a long time. So I think there has to be some sort of guilt there.
But let me tell you what happens here.
Uh-oh.
So the question is, can a civil assault be committed absent an ability to actually follow through with that?
Yeah.
All right? Absent the ability to actually follow through with the attack. And the answer in this instance was no.
Boom.
In order for the assault to be committed, there has to be the threat coupled with the actual ability to carry out the threat at the time the threat is made.
Wow.
So that's what happens here.
Somebody from Seattle calls you up and goes, I'm going to kill you.
Yep.
I mean, you're 4,000 miles away or whatever. You're not going to kill anybody.
Hmm.
That's right.
Well, there you go.
Interesting case.
By the way, if you want to get hold of Stephen Kramer, it's onefirmforlife.com. That's onefirmforlife.com. And when we come back, we'll see if there's a legal angle to the stories in the news today when Deborah Roberts comes in. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Alexa, can you take the dog for a walk?
Ha ha ha. No way in hell.
But until then, just tell her to play WTKS-FM Orlando.
Getting WTKS Orlando Radio from iHeartRadio.
Radio. 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 104.1.
She comes out to be with her.
Welcome to the Monsters Mornings over Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, and Stephen Kramer is here today. Hey, Stephen, now listen, not this Friday, but next Friday, we're doing the Monster Christmas Telethon, and that's going to be right here at the the studio. What's the studio? It's 409, I think is what it's called over there. Yep. And so we know that you have many, many talents, and you've been a part of the telethon before. Do you have a...
do you want me to do a stand-up routine?
Absolutely.
I will.
If you want to do stand-up, you could. But I know there are many other things you can do.
Yeah, I'll...
You want to do a duet?
Nothing musical.
Let's do a duet. Piano, guitar, duet.
I'm in. I'll do it.
All right. All right.
Absolutely.
That's gonna.
You just tell me the instrument because.
Well, you do piano. It's up to you. Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. I think the last time I did it, I did a with one of my friends David. We did a Neil Diamond duet.
Okay.
And then I did a ukulele song.
The ukulele was my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
That was unusual and different.
Cool.
I like that.
All right.
That was
good. Keep that in mind.
Sure.
Or I could bring a guitar. You know.
The keytar.
Oh, yeah. Man.
What's a keytar?
You know what a keytar is.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Okay.
Every funk band for about 10 years had one.
It's not really, it doesn't really translate to radio.
Well,
there's going
to be a telethon, so people will be able to watch, just so you know.
Yeah.
People are going to be able to watch this time, for sure.
Okay.
So, it's going to be on Friday, December the 22nd. Anyone out there that's got talent and you would like to... you'd like to participate and help us raise money. It's all going to be for the Coalition for the Homeless. So if you got a talent, you can show it off that day. Let us know. We'll get you in here. And any way you can help, we certainly would appreciate it. Hey, Stephen Kramer, so before you came in, we were talking about something else as well, and I wanted to see what your thought is on this. And that is there's an article out. There are people out there debating where they're here for the holidays. If you've got little kids, 8, 9, 10 years old or whatever, is it proper to force them to hug or kiss a relative? Like go give grandma a hug, go give grandpa a hug. If they don't want to do it, is it improper to force them to? And there are a lot of people that say, you shouldn't force your kids to have any physical contact with someone they don't want to.
I mean, for one, I think it is important to make sure kids can protect themselves and to make sure they understand that a lot of times the people that are going to try to take advantage of them or hurt them may sometimes be the closest people to them. I mean, you see it all the time. Teachers, doctors.
Yeah, that uncle.
That's right. That uncle, whatever. So I think it's important to make sure kids are aware. But I mean, why would you not want them to learn how to hug their relatives? Why would you not want them to hug grandma and grandpa?
Right.
That's, to me, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah, so you fall on the side of it's okay to make them hug grandma and grandpa.
Just out of curiosity, at what point do you give a kid credit for their intuition?
Right.
At what point, I mean, I have to ask, and this is a very, this is an intriguing argument, but at what point do you think a child can discern whether or not someone is touching them improperly? Is it 5? Is it 3? And when a 5-year-old tells you, I don't like hugging Uncle Waldo, but yet, for some reason, has no problem hugging Grandpa or Uncle Phil or Aunt Jean or whatever the case may be, but that Uncle Waldo is a guy that I just don't like hugging. At what age, boy or girl, can you give a child the right or the value of intuition that he knows or she knows what's right and wrong when it comes to them and their physical contact?
But, I mean, you're there when the hug's happening. I mean, it's not happening privately. And that,
well,
and,
I mean, as far as you ever, know, and, you're, well, you can't be around them all the time, dude.
Well, if you ever get that bad vibe, then, I mean, I guess it's time to have...
If you check out the article, or the implication or what they're subliminally, what you're teaching your kid is that they don't own their own body.
I think that's such stretch. I think I think the important thing to teach
kids is the difference between what's right and wrong when it comes to touching.
Okay, so the lady that wrote the
private area and not.
The lady that wrote the article, she's an accomplished education person. She's a child psychologist. These are her ideas. The article's up there. It's Katja Hettner. And basically, again, what I'll state before when we first started this is that you're forcing children to touch people when they don't want to, leaves them vulnerable to sexual abuse. Most of whom are people known to the children they abuse. So subliminally, if you're forcing your kid to give Aunt Jean a hug and then come to find out it's Aunt Jean that is molesting her, where did she learn that behavior that she had to do those hugs?
And we're literally talking about the worst case scenario.
Yeah,
like in 95, and I know it's not you, Angel, it's this story and this educator, but like the majority of the time, it's just a kid being a brat and not wanting to do it.
I don't
want to
hug grandma.
I don't want to hug it. And if, yes, Jimmy, to get to your point, Jimmy, my daughter's about to turn 7. If she were to tell me, you know what, Uncle whatever is really kind of, I would immediately be like, there's something up.
Yeah, she doesn't
He hugs me too hard. There's something up. She's at that age where it would fully be able to explain herself, unlike just being like, I just don't want to hug because I'm rude and I'm walking out of the party or I'm walking out of grandma's house and you didn't say bye to grandma. Go over there and say and give grandma and grandpa a hug because I'm teaching you how to connect with your family.
Right.
And physical touch is a huge thing. And of course, the worst case scenario is the worst case scenario. But to save my child, no, you know what? But right now, your kid doesn't fully own their own body all the time.
You're talking
okay?
about changing certain cultures. I mean, you're talking, I mean, South America, I mean, many European countries, not including Eastern Europe. I mean, there's a lot of expression of physical contact.
And I used to hate it. Steven, when I was a kid, and Angel can probably attest to this, when you're a kid at a party, in a Hispanic party, it takes you 20 minutes to enter and 20 minutes to leave.
Why?
Because you go to every single person and kiss them on the cheek. Hola, ¿cómo está? Hola, ¿cómo está? And I hated it. I was like, why do we have to do this every time? But you know what? Now as I grow up and I walk and I see those same people, I go over, I give them a kiss because I know I might see them once for a holiday and not see them again for the rest of the year. So I get that. I was that begrudging kid going like, I don't want to do this. I don't want these different traditions and
culture. So this is a different topic for you as a Hispanic man than probably it is for me, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because I never had, I'm trying to even think if I had to deal with this with my own kids, and I don't ever remember it being an issue. We never really had to hug and kiss everybody, so it's...
I mean, I'm mostly around my Southern family from DeLand, and it's the same thing. Everybody comes up to each other and gives each other a hug and a kiss.
I was about to say that very thing. You know, my family on my side, we don't really see them a whole bunch, but my wife's family over on the coast, there's a bunch of them, and every time, because we don't get to see them often, but when we do, I like every one of them. They're all good, hardworking people, and before and when we leave and when we come in, we say hey, we shake hands. The girls, sometimes you'll give them a little hug. All the kids, they do their own thing, but there's just a respect shown, especially if you don't see each other very often. I think that also has a lot to do with it. If you're really close and you see those people all the time, I don't think that's one of those things that happens every single time. Of course, I don't know about Hispanic families,
but
if I saw these people every 3 months, it wouldn't be like that. But once a year, it is like that.
Yeah.
But you know, the challenge with when these stories make headlines, when they make social media, is that they become a very, you know, kind of binary decision, on or off. But the reality is that parenting and managing, you know, the raising a child and teaching them how to handle physical relationships properly is much more nuanced. And there's also different degrees here. I mean, if your kid has a struggle or they don't like physical contact,
that's
and there's
different.
A psychological reason,
sure.
You know, that, then that's something that you should recognize. And obviously, you shouldn't force a kid
right.
to suffer to do that. You shouldn't teach them, you know, that they don't have the ability to say no when it comes to their bodies. But, you know, you can still go through alternatives with your kids. You can still measure the situation. I mean, and there's a big difference between the extent of the contact there. And if you get your kid, you know, once they get to be 4 or 5 years old, they start to learn and have that intuition. And if you see something up, yeah, absolutely, you address that.
Yeah.
So there should be no absolutes here.
I was just going to give you some more information about
sure.
the article. And again, this is one of the Irene van der Zand. She's a co-founder and executive director of Kid Power, Teen Power, Full Power International.
Right.
And she says, when we force children to submit to unwanted affection in order not to offend a relative or hurt a friend's feelings, we teach them that their bodies do not really belong to them because they have to push aside their own feelings about what feels right to them.
Okay. And you know what? After that, okay, they go and they hug. They didn't want to do it. And then you talk to them later. You sit down and say, hey, look, my daughter, Lennon. I know you didn't want to touch him. I know you didn't want to give him a hug, but that's grandpa. You haven't seen him in a long time. You know, in everyday life, that's you don't have to touch everybody you come across or
that's
you don't
right.
allow them. You have a little conversation with them afterwards, and you don't just let it be like, touch him or hug him.
And isn't it like a bullseye, Carlos? I mean, you've got people where it's more appropriate to, you know, hug,
sure.
and then you got people where it becomes less appropriate. And
no
it's
doubt.
Also age dependent. I mean, by the time you're a little bit older, maybe it's not appropriate to sit on your uncle's lap
absolutely.
Or to be having an extended hug. No, I mean that. You know, it's degrees, and it's also about who you're dealing with, and about you know, and about age and maturity.
Fist bump everybody.
Yeah, this just got weird because when I was just out of high school, I went as DJ Extended Hugs.
This is the best. Okay, you know, people always try and connect my whatever political views to anything that I talk about. Ready?
Right.
So, Carlos, this is a text that just came in. So Carlos is okay with taking the extreme on guns, but not on sexual abuse and hugs?
How do you make
wow!
that? Oh, man. That's a stretch, isn't it? My goodness.
I like the way that guy thinks.
And I put a southern accent to him just because it was funnier not to say it was a southern guy.
He got you. He got you good.
Damn, I forgot. I'm not extreme on hugs.
All right. That's onefirmforlife.com. That's onefirmforlife.com for Stephen Kramer.
That's a bumper sticker if there ever was one. I'm extreme on hugs.
Extreme hugging. All right, Stephen, thanks for coming in.
Hey,
you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, you can vote for your favorite monster pet on the website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm, and we will let you know who the winner is on Thursday. So you can go vote today and look at all the pets that are on there. If you want to, and also, if you have a Christmas wish, put it on the website today at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. We're going to do our live Christmas wish show this Wednesday is when we're going to do it, you know, the live show that we do on the air. But if you want to throw a Christmas wish out on the website, you can. And who knows, someone might grant it and help make that Christmas wish come true. We've done this every year for the past, gosh, I don't know how many years. And it's amazing to see all the good people that do come and help and grant these wishes and make it all happen. So, okay, I know that the Dirty Jim is not Catholic. I'm not Catholic, but Angel, you're Catholic,
yeah,
and
man.
You too, Carlos, right?
Yeah.
So millions of Catholics and also just Christians around the world have recited the Lord's Prayer the same way for many, many centuries.
Our Father?
Well, there's one particular part of it that the Pope wants to change.
Uh-oh.
After
remix.
Many, many, many centuries, he wants to change it a little bit. And the way he describes it, explains it is, like, look, you know, a lot of this stuff is translated from other languages, and the translation sometimes isn't proper. So he wants to change lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, to do not let us enter into temptation. And he says that's the way it was meant to have been said, and he's wanting to change it. And there are a lot of Catholics are not happy about this. So like, well, you can't change something we've been saying for many, many years.
No, they're going to pipe down. This is an incredibly popular Pope
yeah.
right now, and he's done some really amazing things.
But to change something that it says millions and millions of people around the world have said that for centuries one way, and he said, we probably made a mistake when we translated that, and it's going to be hard for a lot of older Catholics to even want to change the way they say it, but he's wanting to make it where officially when you say it aloud in church or whatever, instead of lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil, you're to say do not let us enter into temptation but deliver us from evil. And he says it's two different things. The Pope says it's not that he pushes me into temptation and then sees how I fall. The Father does not do this. A father quickly steps, helps those who have been provoked into Satan's temptation. So he say that the slight little word change is a big deal.
It's a better clarification of what that passage is trying to say. Understood, right? So I want to see these Catholics that are going to openly argue with the Pope.
With the Pope,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, he's changing something that's been that way for centuries.
Yeah, but if there's going to be a guy that gets to do that,
and if that look,
that,
and
if, you get that moniker, you're the Pope.
And if that translation was wrong, maybe we are supposed to covet our wife's neighbor. You know, maybe we got that wrong. how do you know what you can trust and what you can't trust if you're changing something as basic as that?
How do you go to that one?
The only one I can think of that'd be okay if it was a little different. You know, because murder, okay, pretty sure that one you can't do. But no, how many things do you think? We think it's one way, but the translation just was kind of wacky, and so now we're just convinced that's the way that it is. But really, that wasn't that's not how it was meant when it was written in that different language, you know, centuries ago.
Pete Strzok can handle it.
Who's
that? That's just a little joke. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird how that even comes up now. I mean, it's been pretty effective now, right? I mean, why change it? That's the number one question I would ask. Why now, and why would you change it at all?
He says he wants to change it because it doesn't give the right message, really. Lead us not into temptation. He says that it should be the other way around. Do not let us enter into temptation.
So lead us into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation.
Yeah, and then the other one is
do not let us enter into temptation. But
it doesn't really roll
evil.
Off the tongue. I mean, even that needs to be rewritten. But again, I would still ask the same question. I mean, why now? I mean, has this been a longstanding controversy within the Catholic Church?
I've
never heard of anything being spoken about this until now.
The Pope says that the phrase seems to indicate that it's God who tempts people. And in fact, it's Satan that does. So he's trying to look out for God here.
It says, "Lead us not into temptation," as if God is leading you into temptation.
Right, and his point is, it's the devil that does that, not God. So he's wanting to change the wording to cover.
And the reason it comes up now, Jimmy, is because this is what the Pope gets to do.
Yeah.
He sits around and ponders the things about different parts of the Catholic religion that we don't have time to think about.
This is almost like that kid who was so good at school that he got done with all of his lessons 15 minutes into class and needed something else to do.
But like, to change the wording on a prayer that is, I mean, that's one of the mainstays of Catholic Church, right?
Nothing maybe as big as this, but I do, and I can't remember what
there've been other changes.
There's been other changes that have been implemented by different like cardinals and stuff over time. This is probably the most prominent one, obviously, because it deals with this particular prayer.
And would you say this is the only modern one you can remember?
No, I remember. That's what I'm saying. I remember ones when I was younger they did different things that they did during the actual mass and stuff like that.
And the previous Pope actually for Hail Marys, he changed one line to just YOLO. He just took out part of it and just put YOLO.
Yeah, he wants to relate to the younger kids.
Right? Yeah, and so I say that every night. Hail Mary, full of grace, YOLO.
You got to say it like that, too. You can't. And you can't say in Italian.
Have they ever changed any part of the Bible because it was, politically incorrect?
Well, there are so many versions of the Bible, and I think one of the big controversies in Christianity when I was still part of a church all the time was the New International Version of the Bible. You have the King James, which is the old language.
Right.
So they started kind of changing the language into language that a younger generation could kind of consume without doing the vowels and all the other stuff, that old English language. And a lot of the real old school guys cannot stand, do not really allow in their church that, I believe it's the New International Version is the version. I'm sure somebody, if I'm wrong, will correct me, but that's what I remembered it as. And it basically paraphrases the language into language that you would recognize now, because as as the Bible is written, some of the verses are difficult to discern. And of course, we've heard preachers, you can break one verse down into 30 sermons. But and that's think that's what they were trying to get around.
I wonder if there have been any parts of there that are really, really sexist and they got to change it for the time.
Well, that's pretty much the entire Bible. Yeah,
I mean, just about to say.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be really difficult to apply that mentality, especially the Old Testament stuff, into today. Because much like a Romanian dealer told me in one of the cruise ships when I was giving my wife, I just happened to be the one who brought down the money to gamble that time, and I handed my wife $100, and his eyes kind of lit up, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I go, "Well, I'm giving my wife part of her, you know, by the money." He goes, "In the mighty country, you give all the money to the woman, and if she loves you, she'll come back," or whatever. And I kind of, as a joke, kind of lifted my hand up, you know, like, then he goes, and he kind of laughed at me, like, he goes, and I said, "You know, we deal with them like this in America." He goes, "In Romania, you hit the woman like you hit the baby."
Oh, jeez.
He goes, "You don't want to hurt, you just want to teach a lesson."
All right.
Holy crap, dude. And he said it right away. He goes, "You hit the woman like you hit the baby."
Real Radio 104.1.
Laugh right.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. If you want to kick your weekend off right with a little bit of a holiday party, it's the Monster Holiday Meetup at Ember this Friday. 3-for-1 drink happy hour. We'll do a meetup there. I'll be there. Come say hi. We'll celebrate the holiday together with 3-for-1 drinks at Ember, downtown Orlando, right on Central. It's an awesome place, and it's a great way to kick off your weekend. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Dirty Jim, and now it's time for Carlos to take it to the top.
Let's go. Good morning, everybody. Hello. My name is Carlos Alberto Navarro.
I can see that a week of being gone got you no closer to your cookie.
My cookie's getting stronger every day.
There was a couple of days where we had really solid ones.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah,
really,
real solid. Yeah.
Really solid cookies.
I think it was just maybe because of the temperature today.
I think.
I'll check the archiver and give you my judgment.
Hello, everybody. My name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To the Top. Every single morning, try and take it to the top. Make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. And today is no different. It is all about starting the day off right. If you're just waking up now, you must have a cool job or maybe no job. Maybe your day's off because, like, normally 9:30 you're waking up.
You would think.
You'd be late.
Late
as hell, but maybe you got that gig where it's like, "Hey, man, I'm the boss. I roll in at 10, and they don't even need to know if I'm there.
I'll do what I want.
But, yes, it is a Monday, and had a wonderful weekend this weekend. It was a very action-packed family fun weekend.
I mean, you guys went to Disney.
I sense sarcasm.
There's a little bit of sarcasm there, yes and no. On Friday, I went to this place called, and they're not sponsors, but they're really nice people. Planet Obstacle.
Oh, I saw
Planet Obstacle.
You put a video. You're doing a flip or something. Yeah,
Lowe's. That place is awesome.
That place is amazing.
I never even heard of it.
It's pretty new, I guess. Shout out to Andre, the owner, was super nice. Anyway, my wife was going out there. She works for Playground Magazine. She's their video, one of their video correspondents. And so they invited her to go out there. And it's this massive warehouse that is filled with all of these kind of parkour, rope. What are those things called where you're climbing the ropes and you're walking? Ropes course.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of odd, just like trampolines, a trampoline. Like,
is it all ages or just adults?
It's all ages.
Oh, okay.
It's all ages, but mostly.
Big giant foam pits.
Yes.
Oh. So you can do a flip into the foam pit.
And not worry how you land.
Yes. And is it for all ages? Yes. How many adults are playing? I don't know.
All of them.
Me and
just
three.
You.
Me and three other guys. And that is like my kind of place. I love just like, as a kid, I remember like going on a bounce house and being like, "Man, when I'm an adult, I'm going to own a bounce house. And I'm just going to bounce in it all day." And same with frosting. I thought I was going to eat a lot more frosting than I currently eat. I thought I was going to eat at least a couple things of frosting a week. Like as a kid. Didn't work out. Too sweet. But
that's an odd thing to remember from your childhood.
I totally remember.
I can't wait till I grow up. I'm gonna need all the frosting I want.
You guys did like when you looked
I always thought I would just have corn dogs every day. I'm gonna eat corn dogs every day.
You can't tell me.
Yeah,
because you get lick the spoon that has the frosting. You're like, but when I'm an adult, you can just buy the frosting.
Just eat the frosting out of the bowl.
Just like eat it like, oh, God.
Isn't it great when you look back at your mentality as a 10-year-old?
Yeah, so, but my love for these kind of like kidnasiums has not changed. And let's see here. I did a front flip and landed, put that on my Instagram.
I saw that. It was good.
And then I tried their parkour ninja course. Did you try that one, Angel?
No, I did not.
People who do that are insane. Okay? Been working out. You know, I'm doing my pull-ups. I felt like I was
feeling
a little strong, you know, and
just felt like you ripped it there. Like it takes Olympic gymnasts to pull this off on television.
Yeah.
But you felt that you worked out twice, you can do 10 sit-ups, you can pull it off?
Pretty much. Pretty much. I did wore my sweatpants.
And here he is, Carlos Navarro, powered by frosting. Oh, failed halfway through the first course.
And I look at my wife, I'm like, so what do I got to do? I got to jump from here, land on the trampoline, grab the board that's up top, and then shimmy my way to the next row. I was like, yeah, I can do it. Boing. Bam! Fall back on my back. I'm like, oh, dazed as hell.
Can't breathe.
I go and I do a dunk. I hang on the rim. I get yelled at. That's how I'm doing a Shaq. I said, you can't hang on the rim. I was like, well, you should have trampolines here that make you feel like Shaq. So that was Friday. And then on a whim, on the way home, we were like, let's go get the new iPhone 10s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Wow, really? That's a hell of a whim.
Well, it was like our Christmas present.
Got it.
We both had our 6s. We haven't gotten the 7s. It's been a long time, a couple of years.
Well, 7s or 8s. I mean, that's two generations.
Exactly. We're definitely, my wife and I are not the type to run out and buy the phone as soon as it comes out. But it was time. Tried to take pictures in there. Man, I beat the hell out of that 6s. And in all actuality, the phone is the most important piece of technology that I have and my wife has. You know,
especially I see you recording audition tapes and stuff to send them off. You want the highest possible quality because here's the thing: you know, other people are using it.
Exactly.
And
right.
The camera in this 10 is amazing. It really, mine comes in today. So I'm excited.
It's so on another level. It's so on another level. I didn't think it would be this amazing, and they've always said, do you think these cameras will put out professional photographers out of business? I think we're almost there.
I told you the story of the guy who took the professional pictures of my house, you know, to put it on the market or whatever, and I was there while he was taking them, and I said, you know, I was talking to him, making small talk, and I said, you know, my wife takes pretty good pictures because he said he likes taking pictures of food.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we do a little cooking show here. My wife takes pictures of food to put them online, and he looks at me and he says, yeah, that camera and these iPhones is about to put me out of business. This $10,000 rig I have right now is summed up in a app. Your phone right now. That's how good they are.
It is.
That's a pro saying.
I'm telling you guys, I was always able to say, no, the iPhone. But this particular iPhone 10 camera was doing stuff this weekend.
Yeah.
That I've never, like, it's insane. But that's besides the point, okay? So, we're leaving there at 8:30. Oh, the mall's open till 10. We can go to the T-Mobile. Well, yeah, I can say it because they were great. So, it was a T-Mobile store. That's where I go. And, yeah, we'll pick it up. We'll dump it off the iCloud. Well, when's the last time you backed it up, Carlos? Well, God, it's been a long time since I backed it up.
89, I believe. Is it 89?
Because I don't know about y'all, but I don't tend to back up my stuff that often.
Oh, dude, you got to set it to do it daily.
Mine does automatic daily.
Weekly, monthly, yearly.
You're right.
Even mine does.
You're right. Okay.
And I will yell at you to get off my lawn.
Okay, yes. But you know what I like to see was that message that would always pop up when I go to my photos that said, you need to buy more iCloud space. And I'd go, okay. And then I forget the password. And next thing you know, I don't order it.
I'm bored.
Exactly. So it's day after day of staring at a prompt screen that I hate. That literally every time I click on it, I go, oh, you stupid reminding me that I need more iCloud space. I click it off, move on. Every day. Go to the store. The guy says, oh, boom. They were fantastic. They had the phone there. My wife got hers. I got mine. It's like, oh, we're freaking out. Like, yeah, so all you got to do is back it up. And I'm like, oh, about that. Is there something that you guys can do here to back it up? I'm like, yeah, we can carry over your contacts and your calendar. And I'm like, yeah, but I got a lot of videos and I got a lot of photos on there. And they go, okay, well, you got the phone. We can upload it to the cloud. And then when it's done uploading, and this was late at night, so they were already kind of done. They said, well, we'll call you in the morning, and then you do the upload, and you'll have all your stuff, and you'll be good to go. All both of you guys. I'm like, all right, that seems fair, whatever. So left my phone there, got home.
You went overnight without a phone?
No. So I already got my 10.
Okay.
We both had our 10 left the old ones there to upload.
Ooh.
Yes, right? So, and the guy looks at me, man, you got a lot of stuff you haven't uploaded. I go, yeah, but it's fine. It's only like 8,000 pictures and photos and videos. Like, I take a lot of photos and videos, you know.
For what we do, yeah.
Sure. And so I get home and I'm freaking. I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. Call up the next day. The guy's like, yeah, everything's uploaded on yours. Make sure you check it. Boom, boom, boom. I'm out the door. I have a kid's birthday party. I got to go to those, you know, every weekend. You got a kid's birthday party. You're trying to figure it out when you have a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not paying attention, guys. Is it all there? Is it all there? Cool. Boom. I'm leaving. I'm on the way there. I said, oh, you know what? I didn't check my photos all the way. I click on the photos. Well, the only photos on my phone are the ones that were uploaded on the cloud. Missing about 5,000 videos and photos.
Oh, geez.
That were just on the physical phone.
Oh, gee.
The 6S. Well, I'm like, oh, it'd been a couple hours since I'd talked to me because I checked everything else except the photos because I was like, oh, look, everything popped up. It's so nice. I'm going to use this iCloud. It's going to be awesome. I bought the gig.
Uh-oh.
I get to this place where I'm at. Photos aren't there. I call them up. I'm like, hey, man, is the phone still there? Yeah, they just handed it to me. Just wiped it. What? Yeah, just wiped it. Just wiped the phone. What's up? That has photos of mine since March that I don't have in videos. Is there any... There's nothing you can do, man. I'm so sorry. Now, what do you think I did? Did I A, yell at said nice man on the phone? B, cry, poop my diety, or C, begin to go into a black hole of depression? These are wonderful options.
Yeah, I'm going to choose black hole of depression.
Yeah,
I'm going to depression.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did because it all came down on me like this is all your fault, Carlos.
Nobody to yell at.
Nobody yell at. They were going out of their way to... It was me and like a 57-year-old lady who's like, how does the phone work at the transfer station?
Right.
And I just... It overcame me so much. And I preach about this all the time. Life is nothing more than small little decisions that you make every single day. And every time I told that phone, no, I don't want more gig. No, I... You know how much it costs?
Nothing.
99 cents.
Yeah. 99 cents. Per month.
I was thinking to myself, why didn't you just get the extra space?
Right, because it's. I'm just being honest. It's one of the things that... that
just short-sighted.
Short-sighted, you know? And I sat there and I said, God dang, I will never allow something that needs to be done today to wait until tomorrow. And in that night, I sat there. I was very upset, but I was only upset about myself. I went out to my punching bag. I beat the absolute hell out of that punching bag.
Oh, yeah.
Has everyone been really cool about, like, just like, hey, did you know you could have done this? Did you know you could have done this? Did you know you could have done this? Did you know this? Did you know that because you have Amazon Prime, you could have backed up your phone to the photos in Amazon Prime, not even had to pay the 99 cents because that's already free?
Oh,
have you gotten any of that?
Yeah. The second I went back up to the mall, the guy that I was working with, I drove to the mall, tried to find the guy. The guy that was dealing with was not there. And he said, and the first thing one of the guys said, well, you just back it up on Google Photos. I said, that would have been good to know about 3 hours ago.
Yep.
Get home. I wake up the next day, Sunday morning. The first thing I think about it. And my wife really talked to me and said, look, Carlos, there's people going on in California right now.
Yeah.
They lost everything.
There's a lot.
And I get it. I get it. I have that perspective. I understand that this is not the end of the world. It just, there's photos of my daughter and my wife and things that I'll never be able to recreate that are gone over my stupid decision. That's it. Nobody else's. I call up Sunday at 12 o'clock the store. Trying to find Joshua. Shout out to Joshua. He was amazing.
What up, Josh?
He picks up the phone. He goes, hey, Carlos, you haven't come by here, man. I said, what's up? He goes, I go, hey, man, is there any way that the phone is still around? He goes, yeah, I have it locked up in the back. Let me go check. Boom, turns it on. All the photos are there.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. But
you got all upset about nothing.
No, I got all upset at myself because I was 100%. Yeah. I thought it was done. I thought it was over. I pass this on to everybody who is listening right now, and we're not all perfect importers, exporters like
Kick
you,
Kick down
Russ.
The 99 cents.
Kick down the 99 yeah, cents. Do whatever you have to do to protect those pictures that are in your phone, to protect those videos that are in your phone. I know it sounds so silly, but those are our memories. I have a horrible memory, and as much as I was upset about it, I told myself, well, obviously I didn't respect the pictures that much, or they weren't that important to me. Because I didn't take care of them, you know? So I was able to go down there last night and get all of the photos, dump them back onto my computer. It was quite a process, but I just really want to pass on this word to the wise. Yes, Jimmy?
I was going
to
say, on top of the iCloud, we even have a 2-terabyte drive that we keep in our house that we download onto that as well. So we have every photograph I've taken of my kids since they were probably 5.
Yeah, man.
On that drive. It would take me a week to go through it. There are so many photographs. That's my phone and my wife's.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that's and we know everybody in the house knows that drive is available. If you want to put anything on there just to keep that family memory thing going, that drive will be, you know.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And I pass that on to everybody listening because I got another shot at it. I got another shot. I got all the iCloud. Everything's backing up. Everything's going great.
So now you do it every day, right?
Every day. Yeah. Well, it's as simple as literally connects to your Wi-Fi at your house, and boom, there it goes into the cloud. And every time I would do it, I have such a bad thing with passwords, man. God.
No.
I wish I'm ready for that implant.
There's an app for that.
I know. And I'll probably forget the password to that damn app. I just want that implant in my thumb where I can just touch things and then it goes
there. With your new iPhone, it's got the facial recognition, right?
Yes, and it is sick. Ready? Like, you're like this.
Just look at it.
Boom. And then it turns on.
Wow.
And then you just flip it up. So it opens. And it doesn't show, like, what the message is or whatever, but this is...
So if I look at it, it won't open.
No, you got a square-ass head, too. So, I mean,
I felt like a shot.
No, we talked about it as Rock'em Sock'em head. I love it. There's a little bit of a learning curve to the 10.
Yeah.
But the pictures on this thing are just on a whole nother level, and that was a major reason I got it. And I got another shot at it. I hope all y'all get another shot at it as well. Word to the wise, import your pictures. Import all of your videos, and you won't regret it.
Hey, I noticed with your new iPhone 10, you don't have a case or anything. You don't have to have a case?
No. I'm dying to have a case. Oh, okay. I'm freaking out not having a case. I just, with all of everything going on, I was planning on going by one of those kiosks and picking up a case, but I just didn't have time. I'm going to do that today before I head out to L.A.
Oh, yeah. And when do you fly out?
Tonight around 6 or 8 or something like that.
Well, if you have time, you should call us tomorrow and let us know what's going on with the fires and stuff.
I totally will. Yeah, I guess it'll be a little bit, obviously, 3 hours behind you guys, but I'll be up at that time doing some stuff. And I don't know what to expect. Maybe I should kind of check.
You might want to check, yeah, because it's really close to... I'm really close to L.A. We're right where you're going, yeah.
Yeah, all right. We'll see. I'll fill y'all in. I'll give you a holler tomorrow.
Do.
Yeah, and I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top. Never stop.
All right, you're listening to Real Radio 104.1.
Alexa, how do I keep myself from going crazy over the holidays?
Try increasing your Xanax dosage.
Yeah, that makes it. Wait, how do you know that I...
But until then, just tell her to play WTKS-FM Orlando.
Getting WTKS Orlando.
Radio. 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 104.1.
Hey, you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Big week this week because Wednesday it's the Christmas Wish Show. People wait for that all for the holidays. They want to do the Christmas Wish Show and put your Christmas wish out there, and maybe someone will grant it and make that wish come true. If you're one of the great folks that do the granting, we appreciate that, and want to listen on Wednesday. Maybe you can help make some people's Christmas wish come true. That's Wednesday, and then on Friday it's going to be a monster meetup holiday party at Ember. 3-for-1 drinks at Ember. So join me out there. It's going to be a lot of fun this coming Friday. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim Carlos. And now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports is brought to you by Lady Jane's Haircuts, a guaranteed spot for your chance to compete in the Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men's 5K Flyaway happening on December the 17th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Lady Jane's UCF location. You'll be competing for the grand prize Flyaway, which includes tickets to the bowl game, airfare, and hotel accommodations for two. And if you correctly guess the final score of the bowl game, you can win $50,000 cash. Wow. All you got to do is go to realradio.fm, keyword Lady Jane's, for more information.
I love Lady Jane's. That's a great spot.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I mean, you want to feel like $1 million, go to Lady Jane's.
For all of those people out there who find it interesting, or the different things that happen on our collegiate sports level,
yeah,
and things that make it to that level, and they actually make it to television. Now I'm trying to find out if there's actual scholarships for this sport.
What sport?
Over the weekend, they had the Southern College Cornhole Championship, and it was broadcast on ESPN2.
I watched it.
Did you?
I watched it.
The Cornhole Championship?
I actually watched it in Denver. I seem to have found it very interesting.
Fascinating, huh?
It was fascinating. I couldn't change
hours. Hours you sat there.
I was like, the Georgia Bulldogs were ripping it up.
Yeah, so Auburn and Georgia were the 1 and 2 seeds. University of Florida has a team there. They're the 11th seed.
Are you kidding me? College team.
There are ACL, the college, Southern College Cornhole Championships. It's happening as we speak.
That's funny.
Wow.
I've never said this, okay, about any professional sport. But give me 2 weeks, okay? 2 weeks of training. Not like a couple hours a day. Every day training, I could be in the league.
Yeah.
I could win the championship. I'm pretty damn good already.
You can't miss.
Who says
I
do?
You can't miss.
Who says I do?
You miss one time, you lose. That's how good they are.
Well, I don't miss.
So shout out to those
guys.
Well,
then you're good. You'll be fine.
Over the weekend, there's some epic things that happened over the weekend. I don't know if you guys heard or felt this seismic shift in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
Jesus, it was a ripple that started in Miami. And
that's why Jack is smiling.
Apparently is going to end in New York City.
What
with the Yankees. Are you familiar with Giancarlo Stanton?
Badass.
All right, so he is an outfielder for the the Marlins.
Okay,
and he said, "I think he had the most home runs this past season, right?"
Yeah, yeah. Guy's a bomber.
The guy's a beast.
He is a beast. Yeah,
he's 6 plus whatever, shredded. Hits any if he makes contact with the ball. Typically, it's going yard.
He looks like he should say pollo a lot. You know,
he does.
He's like Canseco type big.
Now, Stanton is 28 years old, and a year ago or so, he signed his contract with the Marlins.
Okay.
And it's $295 million over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. How much? What?
$295 million over the next 10 years.
$29
million
a year.
So, the Miami team, they're kind of restructuring, they're in rebuild mode.
Okay.
So, they're trying to get younger. They, trying to become competitive. Right. So
one guy takes up like literally a third of your cap space,
exactly,
or whatever it is, and maybe
that's
half.
The main thing. So there's it looked no like there was deals, or there were teams interested from the West Coast. The St. Louis Cardinals, San Francisco Giants had both had made mention that they were aware with that, or they were interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
But then out of nowhere, in the 11th hour, all of that was put on ice. And it looks like the deal's going to go through with the Yankees, trading a second baseman and some other prospects for Giancarlo Stanton. What? When then you've got Aaron Judge and Stanton in the lineup on the same team.
Isn't it always amazing? This was a big topic of conversation at the poker table on the cruise ship. Isn't it always amazing how the Yankees wind up in a situation like this? It's almost like baseball knows that a star or two have to be in that market for baseball to really be successful.
Yeah, but like of all years, I didn't think the Yankees needed that. Like, I know that if you're a team and you're a good team, you're never going to say no on the opportunity to get another good player. And so I'm curious if it was because of the Yankees making that call, or if you believe in the conspiracy theory, Jeter, who is now the president of baseball operations for the Marlins,
and
his connection with the New York Yankees, helping facilitate this because there were other two teams that were interested. And when it seems like it wasn't until the 11th hour that the Yankees got in on the Giancarlo.
Yeah, he wouldn't sabotage us. I mean, he's looking for monetary value to rebuild a young team that really is struggling getting a crowd, man.
Yeah.
Jeter is taking, a hit in Miami sports radio
because
he's blowing out favorite comments. commentators, guys that were covering the team. He's changing all kinds of stuff with him. So this is another move and a bunch of questionable moves that people are saying, Marlins fans are saying, that just don't make sense when it comes to what he's trying to do with the team.
Yeah. It's happened before in baseball. You know, it's happening with the A's and a bunch of other teams that leaned on unconventional ways of creating a baseball team. And who knows what this guy knows that we don't, you know?
And we're talking about big money. NFL agrees to a new deal with Verizon. You guys want to guess with a B how many billions of dollars we're talking about? It's a 5-year deal with Verizon. What they're going to help with the NFL going forward is the ability to stream and Wi-Fi at all the stadiums. That's a huge part of this deal with them going forward, so that, again, to enhance your stadium experience at any of the games.
And this is why Goodell makes all the money, by the way.
$3.5 billion.
Not far off, man. It's 2.5.
Wow.
$2.5 billion deal with Verizon for the next 5 years. And the deal allows Verizon to stream live in-market NFL games on any of its websites, with Yahoo being the predominant home.
That's a step towards net neutrality.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. No, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
So you want to see the game?
Yep.
Buck and a half. Yep. Buck and a half a month. Want to see that game? Buck and a half a month. Want to see that game? Buck and a half a month. Next thing you know, your streaming bill is like $200 a month, so you can see all the cool stuff.
We'll see.
That's a bunch of, man.
That's a lot. That's a big billion right there. You guys remember Malice in the Palace?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal.
So that's the nickname they had, gave the moniker to that NBA game. The Indiana Pacers are playing in Detroit. A fan throws a cup of ice at Ron Artest. He completely goes apoplectic and goes into the stands.
Yeah, I remember that.
My friend, broadcaster Jason Thompson, San Antonio Sports Radio, claims to have coined that phrase.
Oh, he made it up, the Malice in the Palace?
Did he trademark it?
No, he didn't think it up. No, he said he like on the air and talking about it, all that stuff, but it was always a running joke.
So we almost came as close as we ever have. That happened, what, back in 2000?
No, was it that early?
Or 2000?
That was a little bit later than that.
Okay. So
I'm not sure.
We've come as close as we've ever come to having something like that happen again, where an athlete goes into the stands to handle. And it was last night. Seattle Seahawks versus the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. Yeah.
Seattle proved how soft they are as a team.
Okay.
Getting their asses handed to them by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then you want to get cute and start being mouthy with fans. Well, what are you going to do? If you're going to antagonize the fans, what do you think Jacksonville fans are going to do?
Jacksonville is not going to take it.
They don't know any better. They're a bunch of savages in Jacksonville.
Yeah. They're going to throw a beer at you. And that's exactly what they did.
That's what happened,
And they threw a beer at him, and then he went up in the stands. He tried to.
He did, really.
He tried his ass to get up there. A couple of his boys pulled him down. And then even while he's walking away from that, dudes are just... You think throwing one beer is bad? Try getting into the stands and see what Jacksonville fans do. Like, I'm giving this Budweiser up for the team. Overhand throwing beer after beer after beer.
I didn't see this at all.
You know what the guy did, though? The reason he got ejected, by the way, he was walking out of the stadium from being ejected because they were kneeling the ball. The game was over. Dude comes in, tries to take out the center's knees. He goes
The game was crazy chippy. Like Seattle was, they were getting beat up on, and they resorted to being soft about it, and then started like extending plays with roughing, and like Jimmy saying, this guy takes a shot at this other guy's knees, he gets ejected from the game.
It got gross.
Yeah, it was really like I thought the refs let it get out of hand too quickly.
They did. It was unfortunate. But by the way, all they have to do, because Seattle run out of timeouts, all Jacksonville had to do was take two snaps, kneel it, because they just had on a 3rd and 11, Fournette ran for the first down. Pretty much the game was over at that point, right?
Wow.
So they're trying to kneel on the kneeling play, Russ. In other words, when they snap it, hit the knee. Those guys are going in after knees. Oh. And they did it twice in a row. Refs were like, ejected. He was throwing people out, and as the guy was leaving the stadium, he started getting lippy with, or the fans started kind of getting at him a little bit, and unlike being a professional and just walking out of the stadium, and then, of course, he starts claiming there were racial epithets as well and some
not
slurs and stuff. I found that really odd in Jacksonville. Usually, they're...
Tampa, maybe, but
I mean,
not Jacksonville.
Usually, when they're yelling Shakespeare quotes at you.
Yeah. Or they're turning on some Skynyrd and saying, let it all fly.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hate you, African-American!
This season I think is going to go down as one of the seasons where we saw a lot of marquee names go down with injury, it's difficult to maintain enthusiasm for your team when your guy goes down. Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles being the most recent guy. We'll find out later on today, but they fear that he's got a torn ACL. And he's the reason they are doing what they're doing.
And they're doing really well this year, right?
Yeah, 11-2.
They're in the lead, yeah.
Yeah, so 11-2.
Foles look good for them, though.
Yeah, they have a reliable backup, so it'll be interesting to see how Foles does for them. But, again, so many marquee names have fallen to the wayside for injury. And this guy, like, look, I'm never, ever going. It's just not in the cards for me. I'm never going to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Yeah.
But I liked watching Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
He's
a gamer, too. Yeah. You hear his interviews. Like, the guy's a baller. Yeah. He reminds me of Andrew Luck a lot. That same mentality toward winning and stuff. I love him.
Andrew Luck's done, right?
I don't know, dude. That's a whole weird situation.
He's in Germany right now, and he's getting done for what's called the Kobe.
Stem cell.
The stem cell. He's getting the blood spun. The kid's going to come back with a robotic arm.
He'll come back Drago. Or flat top instead of that fro.
Orlando Magic, they lost on the road the other night against the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta is just one of those teams that seems like we fight them tough. There's one of those teams that we push it with. That's them. Again, very competitive game. But we're going through that rash of injuries right now. I haven't heard a follow up on Aaron Gordon because they put him in the concussion protocol. So I haven't had a chance to follow up on that. Their next game is going to be 12-13. It's going to be the Clippers here in Orlando.
And did you see? I don't know if it's just the Orlando Magic because I pay special attention to them, or if it's other teams, but I have a feeling that when the players leave the Magic, whether they're traded or whether they resign, it's like they go to Germany and they infuse them with an extra good potion to make them better. Because Victor Oladipo, we traded him for a ham sandwich, a bag of Funyuns, and a Fanta. And now he's scoring 47 points, and he's going to be an all-star. And I loved Oladipo. His name could have been Orlandipo, like I was trying to coin. Right. Didn't stick.
Right, yeah.
And they traded him for nobody that's even near the team now.
Oladipo in the Palace.
Yes.
And that's Monster Sports.
There's another Monster Sports story. You've got to give it up to Dr. Phillips High School for winning the state championship.
Oh, really?
That's a pretty big deal. I mean, this is like, I guess, it's 5A, right? It was like...
I'll double check on that. I think you're right.
It's like whatever the biggest...
Yeah, yeah, 5 or 6. Actually, 7, 8A, isn't it?
Well,
5A when we were in school was the biggest. I believe it's like 8A or something now.
Well, whatever it is, they won the state championship, the biggest one.
The big boy, yeah.
Yeah, the big one. And, man, they had a huge crowd out at Camping World Stadium. Yeah. And Dr. Phillips said they were in the playoff, I don't know what it's called. It's not the Super Bowl, but whatever. They were in the championship game last year, and they came up short, back at it again, and won it this year. And it was
they beat Delray Beach Atlantic.
Yeah.
And it was a defensive win, basically. I don't even think there was an offensive touchdown. It was just the defense just kept scoring, which is badass.
Also, it's kind of weird. The guy who grabbed his nuts to the crowd, Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma player, he won the Heisman.
Yeah, but that was no shock to anybody.
Yeah, I know. But Lamar Jackson, though, he was in there.
They weren't even close because of the losses. Like, it was his.
There was a walk on, right?
Did you guys get? Did anyone see? Because that was what we were watching it for. What was the kid that came out of? The quarterback that became a mess, and then he.
Johnny Manziel.
Did anyone see Manziel? Because they always do the thing with all the Heisman, the most recent Heisman guys. They'll do the picture and they invite everybody back. Did you see Manziel? Because Manziel looked like he was a janitor. He didn't look like he belonged in that photo of all athletes and football players. Manziel looked like he kind of snuck in.
Oh, really?
When they were doing the Heisman, they did. They were going through all the other guys that had won the Heisman Trophy, and they did one of those sizzle reels with Tim Tebow. And I'm gonna tell you what, say whatever you want about Tim Tebow,
did you cry?
But when he was in college, that son of a bitch was badass. When I saw the sizzle reel for Tim Tebow,
did you cry again?
No, I didn't cry. No, I didn't cry for that. No. I'll tell you if I cry. But no, I was just like, damn, he was a badass at Florida. He really was. But now the kid that won this year was a walk-on, right? Not expected even to start, and he won the Heisman. That's pretty cool. But
that's,
I guess,
amazing.
He had some discipline problems or something.
Baker. So he got in he got a drunken disorderly earlier in the year, and he's had some other off-field issues that happened over the summer.
Slammed by the cops.
He did something too with it. He brought the flag out in the middle of the field.
That was at Ohio State when they beat Ohio State.
I thought that was kind of cool. But
yeah.
Look, there's a certain edge you need you know, to be professional athletes. I mean, they did a cut together reel. I don't know if you saw OBJ and Tom Brady put theirs together. Yeah. That was really cool because, you know, they get on Othell Jr. For Odell Jr. for being too crazy and too wild. And then they put them side by side, and it's all the same thing that Tom Brady does.
Right. Oh, really?
And, you know, Tom
What's
Brady.
What's the difference, though?
Yeah, huh? But
this must be the Mohawk.
You need that. You need that on your team, especially a quarterback like that.
Congratulations to Dr. Phillip High School right here in Central Florida, and they won the state championship. Yep. And those kids look pretty happy.
They're saying 8A.
8A, okay. Yeah. Whatever the biggest one is what they won. So, Real Radio 104.1. Hey, thank you for listening to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we'd like to ask you to stick around and make sure you listen to the News Junkie and the Phillips File and Tom and Dan, and then you've got Real Laughs with Monster Comics and AD on the Radio right here on Real Radio 104.1. Well, Jimmy, you were out this week on Wednesday when we had Ross Pageant in, but he's rolling in the dough, boy, with Bitcoin.
Yeah, I saw that. That's another gigantic story that was being covered on CNN, the whole cruise.
Well, I tell you, I saw a story on it this weekend, and it was a kid who started buying Bitcoin, I mean, some time ago, and this kid, I think he's 18, 19 years old, and now he's got $3 million in Bitcoin.
Which is like, what, four shares now? Four coins? Well, I mean, it's like $17,000 a coin or something.
It's $17,000 a coin right now, and it keeps going up. Now, the economists, the professionals, the ones that do this all the time, say, "Look, it's gonna you're gonna lose with this if you're
very careful, no transparency."
Well, they flat out say, "If you're stupid enough to buy it, you're stupid enough to lose all your money." I mean, some of them are mad that it's even doing as well as it is.
There's a couple of people that came out and basically said the government needs to step in and shut this down.
Really?
They were calling for it.
Yeah, the transparency is a problem. I'm thinking the Securities Commission is the ones that really kind of shaky about it, and they warn people right up front, look, man, you know, I mean, you don't know if you're going to get your money back, although people come out and say, look, there are cryptocurrency guys saying, you have no problem getting your money back. I've talked to Ross about this at length. I mean, he's in. He loves it.
I got a text message from someone really close to me, right? And back in 2012 when we talked about this, Bitcoin was going at $12 a share.
It was.
And we convinced them not to purchase any share. Like,
you have to mine it, though, right?
Yeah, you got to do the whole thing. But this was SBK, and we convinced them on the air not to talk, you know, not to get into it and everything.
Right.
So, you know, he's not one to hold a grudge.
No.
Yeah, so he texts me, and he's like, today would be worth $10,000 if he would have let me, you know, if I hadn't listened to you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, who knows how long it's going to last? I mean, they're saying that this bubble could break any day now. And if I went out and bought some, as soon as I bought some, the next day, it wouldn't be worth a flip, you know?
And again, I may lose money by not doing it. I'm still going to stick with traditional investing, you know, and stuff like that. And I'll take my small gains over a long period of time. But, man, I mean, when you look at it and you hear people talking about it, and it's extremely intriguing. But then again, when you look at, I mean, what backs it? What makes it valuable? Where does it
one
trade?
One Bitcoin today is worth $16,570.53.
Yeah, what I realized by watching the news and stuff is that most people, the anchors, most everybody doesn't understand it. Nobody understands what it really is. It's like it's confusing to a lot of people.
It's like the internet.
In
the mid-90s.
Yeah. Don't understand it. Don't really get it. But there's nothing that backs up Bitcoin. I guess that's the problem. There's no
gold standard, if you will. But then again, our currency is not.
It's based on the strength of the market type thing and the trade value of the dollars in circulation. It says Bitcoin here. This is the texting service checking in. Bitcoin is a new currency for people like Paul Manafort. No way to trace the purchases back to banks in Cyprus anymore. But, you know, and one of the big things I heard about this, one of the big arguments is this is something that now drug dealers, weapons trade, people who deal in nefarious businesses can now move money around and there be no trace, no idea, because now anything over 10K, anything over 10 grand, you can't. It's always there's a report.
So, Jimmy,
there's strip clubs in Miami take Bitcoin now.
You used a term that I didn't understand. You said it's Bitcoin has to be mined. What does that mean? It says here, mined by computers.
Yeah, there's a way you go in, I guess you basically, and Ross can explain it better than I can, and then really I have a very rudimentary, there is a way online that you basically mine for it. You know, coin as if you're mining for gold.
So you go and you can get it for free?
Yeah, no, you you just have to make a bunch of certain moves online to gain the credit, I think, something
people
like that.
People compete to mine Bitcoins using computers to solve complex math puzzles. This is how Bitcoins are created. Currently, a winner is rewarded with 12.5 Bitcoins roughly every 10 minutes. That's why in certain parts of the world, you've got these guys that are, they're call them farms. Bitcoin farms, and they've got a ton of guys on computers, and they're just doing this, mining it, acquiring this.
So there's no real value to them. They're just created?
Digitally, yeah.
But there's a finite number. There's only 21 million that'll ever be created. Never anymore. I guess it's the way the system is built.
Okay.
Huh. Whereas, you know, you could issue new stock for a company, like iHeart could go, hey, we're issuing 1 million shares of new stock. Your stock splitting, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. There will never be more than 21 million Bitcoin.
It's always sketchy when they describe a monetary like this. Bitcoin's a new currency that was created in 2009 by an unknown person using the alias Satoshi Nakamoto.
But you know, that's Elon Musk. You know what it is. That's Elon Musk.
You would say for Elon.
You look and you watch.
Spell it backwards. It is Elon Musk.
I'll bet you. Real Radio 104.1.
Sorry. Our wall is waiting for all your insights, not fit for radio broadcast. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Real Radio. 104.1.
Welcome to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Dirty Jim was off last week for his birthday, and then Carlos will be leaving tomorrow, and his birthday is this week, so I hope you have a good birthday.
Thanks,
so,
man.
On your birthday, will you be in L.A.?
Yeah, I will be.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll be in old L.A.
Is your family going with you, or just...
No, just me. Oh. Just me. Yeah, no L.A. trip.
So will you do like a birthday celebration when you get back, or what?
I don't know. I thought about that. Yeah, but maybe. I like a nice little party, like gifts. If you want to get me one. Sure, hey, if you're asking.
Yeah. That transitioned quickly.
Gifts are good.
I like a party, gifts.
Yeah,
hey, gifts are my love language. I like gifts.
Hey, who's the new guy that's getting the sexual harassment allegations? Who's this guy?
Mario Batali.
Mario Batali loves to touch asses.
And who is he?
He's a big-time chef, and he owns a place called Eataly. I believe in New York and a number of other brands throughout the world, I believe. And he does the Chew, I think, is it?
Yeah.
And kind of looks like Shrek.
Yeah.
If Shrek was an Italian guy who looks like a Viking.
Yeah, most of the guys are not good looking. Most of the sexual harassment guys are not attractive.
That's kind of actually a little bit shocking for Mario. I've heard of, and read a number of things about him. When the Food Network was blossoming, he was one of the stars that kind of, along with Bobby Flay, kind of rose to the top. But I never, again, you never know, buddy. But,
yeah, sure.
He was not a guy who ever really hit me as a dude that had that mentality, but neither did Brian, neither did Matt Lauer, I guess.
Yeah. The Matt Lauer thing, have you heard? Is there?
I haven't heard anything through the week.
Completely,
you know?
Underground. Now.
I heard that all he wants, this is a quote that somebody said, that all he wants to do now is play golf in the Hamptons.
Oh,
and
right.
That's it. And if I'm Matt Lauer, I have $100 million in the bank.
Yeah.
You would never hear from me again. Yeah. It would. I would grow out a beard. I would look. I mean, it would be.
I guess his wife left him, allegedly.
Yeah.
She did, really?
Yeah.
Allegedly. That's what we heard last week. But
hope it all works out.
Yeah. I mean, most of these people have so much money that they could never. I mean, but I guess if you're in that world, that you want the attention as well.
Sure. And, you know, egomania never leaves you. So the last thing a guy like that wants is to be to have to leave with a bad mark all over his face. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
how long before they come back? Because they're going to come back. Louis C.K. will be back. Matt Lauer will be back.
I'd put odds on that. If you gave me numbers on that, I would be willing to bet that Matt Lauer. You have to understand, coming back is all relative.
Yes.
You know, being on a blog is not back.
No.
You know, being on CNN 5 is not back for a guy who had one of the most coveted news jobs in America. That's not back.
Yeah.
You're talking about back to me. Back means you're at ABC News or you're whatever news. You're at another major network doing the news and you're the guy.
So what you're saying, like Dog the Bounty Hunter, though he kind of came back and did a thing, he wasn't back as big as he was when he left. So
yeah, I don't think he's ever regained his popularity. At the height of his popularity.
And also like Paula Deen, though she kind of came back and did like a little internet thing, it's not like she came back to the popularity.
I'd be curious, Carlos, because I'm curious what would the vehicle be?
Me too. I'm just putting out the question because it's like
as of right now today, I don't see how you do that. Like I don't see what the mechanism would be.
Here it is. You know, there's two ends to this. There's two sides to the story, and every story has an ending and different chapters. And and Matt has officially apologized, and there were no criminal charges. Because at a certain point, unless you're just willing to take this, you know, a whole group of people are willing to stand in front of a building every single day. But we tend to forget about things, and the next big thing will be the next big thing. I just kind of see, look, Brian Williams is back doing an 11 o'clock hour show where he's still like the coveted anchor, and the dude lied about some of the things that he did. We so quickly forget. Me as well. I'm not pointing at anybody else.
Well, I mean, like they're Mike Tyson. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, Bill Clinton.
Back at what again? I mean, Mike Tyson back at what?
He reached. He's a higher credibility level than he was before.
I think
the differences I would say with these guys is that in Tyson's case, he went to jail.
Right.
He paid his dues. He paid his price. None of these guys so far have been to jail. None of them have been in the court of law. All of this is happening is in the court of public opinion.
Right. You know, it's funny, too. If you watch Saturday Night Live this week, they did they always do pretty funny bits, I think. I think it's still as funny as it ever was. And the opening bit, they had kids, like, talking to Santa, and the kids were like, so let me try to understand this. So if you admit you did it and you're wrong, then you lose your job. But if you don't, if you deny it, then you get to keep your job.
Yeah.
Which basically is what it boiled down to.
Yeah. Weinstein didn't admit it, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Did he
wind up admitting it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I thought he did.
I don't remember that.
So I don't think he has. I think he's.
I think he was pretty. I thought he was pretty defiant about the accusations against him as well. I mean, I know he took the swats for sure, but I don't know if they ever did that. And as far as Louis C.K., I think Woody Allen has burned all of that credibility coming back thing. And I mean, I just
what his kid's been getting at him about?
Who's that?
What's this kid that does the one of the news networks?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. It's Rowan.
He put out an article.
Yeah, Ferris, son.
He basically put out is Woody his dad?
Woody is his stepdad.
So he puts out an article and basically talking about, you know, I guess the hypocrisy of Hollywood. All these women that came out so hard and adamant about Harvey Weinstein, he's asking them in a public forum, how is it that you're still working with Woody Harrelson?
It's a total hypocrisy.
That's a good point.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Allen.
That guy's the ultimate question mark. I mean, in my opinion, still. I mean, and you know, that guy's the ultimate question mark. Him and Polanski. I mean, when you look at those guys and you go, "Wow, man!" I mean, how does that guy have a gig? I mean, look, he's married to his.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. No, it's totally creepy.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so Monday was today, so Mario Batali, and then tomorrow we'll
somebody else,
do you feel like we're getting towards the end of this kind of squeezing it out?
No.
I mean, how do we ever really tell?
Yeah. I think the next waves are going to start happening on more local levels, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Local governments, you know, it's like the Jacksonville thing. Tallahassee story that just continues to, you know.
Did you guys talk about that crazy slush fund they have in Congress for
that would have been using to pay off victims?
They're paying off victims with taxpayer money. It's like $220,000 here, $80,000 there, all taxpayer money. Money you spend from your paycheck goes to pay off people to keep them quiet,
keep their mouths
for congressmen who can't keep them their hands to themselves. You think about that?
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, that's insanity. I mean, it goes beyond crazy.
And
the fact that that was public knowledge, like everybody knew there's a slush fund, basically, worth millions, by the way, to pay off people to keep them shut up because people can't keep their hands to themselves. They feel entitled that they should be able to grab ass.
But that's why you get the Roy Moores of the world, you know, who are running for Senate, and there's
full, well-documented stuff that he's done, and you know, president supporting him.
I got to tell you, I don't think there's anyone that will ever shock me now that you know you've seen all these different people. I think after Bill Cosby, I was shocked with Bill Cosby. Yeah, after that, I don't think anyone. I mean, even if it was Tom Hanks, I'd be okay.
But even then, let's think about it. When John Witherspoon sat in that chair right there. And when that Cosby stuff was hot, and we asked John Witherspoon, a comic who worked side by side with the people that he worked with, and ran in that same group of people that he worked with, the Pryors, all those legend comics in all of Hollywood, the first thing he did was dismiss that information as, look, everybody knew Bill was crazy.
Oh, really?
Everybody knew that. You remember? He sat right there and said that. He goes, I don't mess with Bill. We asked him, what do you think about the Bill Cosby thing? He goes, man, everybody knew Bill was crazy. Everybody knew Bill was crazy, guys.
But we didn't as the public, you know. That's the thing.
That's the big argument, right? The fact that everybody knows that nobody says anything because it possibly could have a negative impact on their career.
Yeah.
And that's a tough decision to make for everyone if you think about it. I mean, if you knew something in this building and you were going to spout out, and you knew for a fact there's a 50-50 chance by you standing up for somebody who can't help you, by the way.
Right.
The person you're trying to defend can't do anything to make your financial life any better, but the person you're about to rat out certainly can.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, that's that is the problem, isn't it?
You do a passive-aggressive Facebook post.
That's what everybody else does. Speaking of Facebook and also email, you know, you can always email me, russ@wtcast.com. And we got to several of them last week, and I appreciate you guys sending me the email. And what we'll do, basically, you know, we read the email on the air, and everybody can give their opinion and say what they think. And we appreciate it. So it's russ@wtcast.com. This one is from Sean. Said, I'm emailing you this morning because my girlfriend, who I've been dating for 6 months now, sucks her thumb, and it's starting to really weird me out. We've only been together since September, so this is all a little bit new to me. So that's 6 months, right? September? Yeah, okay. She's a great girl, but when we're watching TV or at the movie, she sucks her thumb, puts her thumb in her mouth and sucks it like a newborn baby. At first, I thought it was kind of cute and kind of funny, but now after we have sex, she lays down and puts her thumb in her mouth, and it really is starting to creep me out. Do you think she...
It's starting to?
Do you think she'll ever stop or on her own, or do you think she's just going to keep doing this? Should I say something to her? How do I talk to her about this? It's really starting to weird me out. I mean, how long should an adult suck her thumb? And this guy's name is Sean. I've never known a grown girl to do it. I had a buddy of mine, but we were in junior high school. So, I mean, like, and he would suck his thumb, and nobody would pick on him because he was badass.
I got a couple family members that still suck their thumbs.
Really?
They're two of my cousins. Yeah, they're in. I'm talking like grown women. They've got kids. It's just a habit that they just, the person has to want to break that habit. I remember on vacations and we'd be down in PR and my aunt trying to break them of this, and they would like dip the girls into hot sauce and stuff like that. I felt so bad for them, but ultimately it has to be, I think the person has to want to break that habit. You know?
So
she's only doing it when you're going to sleep, dude, relax.
You say no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
Says she does it in the movies, does it when watching TV, and then now she's starting to do it after sex. Ugh. Doesn't do it out in public.
But, oh, my God, dude.
What?
It's time to tattoo a nail on something else, huh?
What should he do? He says he likes her a lot, but it's just that one thing.
You got to talk to her about it and ask why.
Why are you sucking your thumb?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Yeah, that's a comfort. Something's going on, the security thing.
Right.
I would dig a little deeper. That's very bizarre.
The Texan. It's she's a serial killer.
Start doing it. How about this? You start doing it during sex. And then when she says something, go, I don't know, dude. It just, you know.
I wonder if in her mind, if she knows that it's odd, and if they've never, from what he's saying, they've never talked about it. I wonder if she knows.
There's no way this just comes up in general conversation with the girls out for wine. Hey, you guys having a good time? You ever suck your thumb during sex?
I've never seen a grown girl do that.
Yeah, no.
Not that I can think of.
And somebody texts in the magical question.
What?
How good's the sex?
Right.
He didn't say.
Directly relative to the toleration of the thumb sucking.
I mean, now she's good at sucking.
She sucks her thumb.
Angel, stop.
How long should I expect an adult to suck her thumb? This is he's got three questions here. How do I talk to her about this? I tell her how I feel. Well, you just said it does. Hey, honey, I got to talk to you about something.
Yeah, what's up with the thumb?
Hey, baby, this is a weird thing you do. Do you even realize that you
do you realize you suck your thumb sometimes? Yeah, you just ask her like that, and you can do it. Let her know. You're not trying to be mean. Just you want to know if she understands. That's easy to do, to talk to her about it. And then he says, how long should an adult suck her thumb? Until she's maybe two. And then after that, you shouldn't be sucking your thumb.
Well, yeah, you're asking the question as is, how long does an adult suck their thumb? Adults right. don't suck their thumb.
Right.
Bad question.
Do you ever think she'll stop on her own? Or is this just what she does? Yeah, I mean, I think if you say something to her, she might stop on her own.
I wonder if there's a psychosis that is covered online about
the mental.
Yeah, what causes that? Because that's got to be that's got to be some type of.
Oh yeah.
I mean, but Angel, I've never heard of that.
You have two cousins that suck their thumbs.
Yeah, they're the twins. They're twins. Yeah, and it's definitely a comforting thing that apparently happens in the womb. They don't go out there and do it in public. They're not in the movies and everything. But every now and then, like, we were at the house or whatever, visiting and whatnot, and you're watching TV with them or something. You look up.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. He said she only sucks her thumb when they're watching TV at home or they're in a movie theater, and now she's doing it after sex. She doesn't do it out in public. He's the only one that sees it. So is it a big deal if he's the only one that sees it?
I don't know.
It's like, okay, so what if on the
other end, to think of a crazy habit that I have.
What if someone said, oh my gosh, you know what? My husband, he takes his keys and he puts a key in his ear and he gets all the earwax out all the time. Is that normal for an adult to do that? And we would be going, well.
No.
Well, we know one guy.
Guys are saying here, this is according to CBS News, by the way, because the head of the story was, I will scroll up real quick and tell you, this is interesting. This was just 2005. Adult thumb suckers come out.
Okay.
And it says here, if somebody bites their nails, we may say that's a bad habit or even that it's disgusting, but we don't look at it as a psychological damaging situation.
Right.
But it can be a problem if it's used in a way any habit is used to isolate somebody or restrict someone from intimacy and other connections. So they're basically saying it also can cause dental problems. You guys have heard about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Make you have buck tooth.
Buck tooth.
Guys had an overbite for a long time. Many find thumb sucking erotic, which may be behind some of the discomfort people feel about it.
Yeah.
Because of its association with, of course, oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the weird thing, also, it pushes the roof of their mouth up. I'm being straight up.
When you were showing me, you were sucking your thumb and watching you suck your thumb made me laugh.
I don't know why I needed to add that visual while we're doing radio.
It also says here that it says how to stop thumb. Thumb suckers who carry the habit into adulthood may not be inclined to give it up, or they would have long ago, but social pressure may eventually get them to. It says a form of psychotherapy can be used to help all behaviors, as with any habit. They have to be committed to it.
All right, so Sean, here's what I say something to her.
Oh, it
her.
Says you can get Xanax for it. Keep doing it.
Boom.
Say something to her. Talk to her about it.
How about this, guys? Because this is a carry through the text. Get her a fidget spinner.
There you go. Yeah.
Have her deal with her anxiety another way.
That's a good idea. I want to remind you that this Wednesday is we do it once a year. It's our annual show where it's a Christmas wish show. If you've got a Christmas wish you want to come true, if you get on the air that day, we'll let you talk about it, let you throw it out there, and who knows, someone may grant your wish. Now, usually the ones that where you wish for something for someone else and it's kind of like a selfless wish are usually the ones that come true first. But listen, it's your wish. You can do whatever you want with it. So we'll see. If you get on the air, you can make your Christmas wish, and hopefully someone will grant it and make it come true on Wednesday.
And we're pretty smart. You can't wish for your wife to get an Xbox.
Yeah. And then if you don't get through or you want to go ahead and put your Christmas wish on our website, you can do that, monsters.fm, and there's an area for it there. And there are people that are already granting some of those wishes and making them come true. So that's happening on the website now. And you also can vote for the Monster Pet of the Year. It's on the website right now at monsters.fm. Friday, it's the Monster Holiday Meetup at Ember, 3-for-1 drinks. I'll be there 4 to 7, so come by and say hi for that. Carlos, a happy birthday to you. Have a good week off.
Appreciate it, man. You can check me out at To The Top Carlos. I'll be posting some cool stuff with everything I'm doing.
Dirty Jim tomorrow.
We're cooking chili tomorrow night. I'm going to do the ground beef version of the championship chili. We won't do the braised beef version. We're going to show you how to make a really tasty chili for these cool days. And check out Primetime Kitchen's Facebook page. Tori put up a bunch of pictures from the food we had on that Royal Caribbean ship, which was amazeball. So go check it out.
All right, stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. At 3 o'clock is the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phillips File. Tom and Dan after that. Real Laughs Monster Comics after that. We're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, Samaria Man, Rust the Thumbsucker, Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
But we got to get the hell up out of here.
Swerp.
Drinks should I have at the office Christmas party?
All of them.
That doesn't...
But until then, just tell her to play WTKS-FM Orlando.
Getting WTKS Orlando Radio from iHeartRadio.